following is a presentation of the Horizon Sports Network, a live stream internet broadcasting affiliate of the Delhalla Horizon newspaper based in Salina, Tennessee.
This is Horizon Sports Network coverage of Clay County Bulldog football with producer Rob Edwards and hosts Daniel Strong and Thomas Weaver.
Today's broadcast is powered by AC Wireless, your local U.S. Cellular dealer.
And sponsored by Upton Funeral Home, serving Clay County when they need it most since 1949.
Clay County Farm Supply, your one-stop shop for all things farm-related.
Salina Lumber, the getting place. If you need it, we got it.
Cumberland River Hospital, proudly providing local health care for over 50 years.
Bank of Salina, serving thousands of customers, one at a time.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, serving you and your loved ones from our hearts.
Tennessee Land Management, your local source for all things concerning property improvement.
Westmoreland Management, offering local affordable housing here for over 30 years.
Twin Lakes, keeping you connected with broadband, TV, security, and phone services.
The Clay County Chamber of Commerce, inviting you to come visit Delhalla Lake.
And Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome to the David Benjamin TV Phone and Internet Pregame Show here on the Horizon Sports Network, a weekly prelude to Bulldog football featuring producer Rob Edwards and hosts Daniel Strong and Thomas Weaver.
David is the Upper Cumberland's only authorized retailer, offering a combination of DirecTV, Dish Network, Usenet, Exceed, Frontier, Charter, and Twin Lakes service.
Clay County fans, give him a call at 931-528-5233 or look him up on Facebook for all your technology needs. Because when you contact David Benjamin TV Phone and Internet, you'll be dealing with somebody like you, not a corporate contractor.
Though David Benjamin is the pregame title sponsor, others also help make each segment possible, including Farm Bureau and Salina Agency Manager Daniel Burton. Clay County turns to us for auto, life, and home insurance.
Town Square Antiques, where owners Johnny and Joanne McLaren strive to preserve local history and offer a wide variety of antiques and collectibles.
Ridgetop Farms, proud supporter of Clay County football and the Horizon Sports Network.
Homer Improvement, when you get to it and can't do it, call the contractor that's used to it.
State Farm and local insurance agent Andrew Vaught. Like a good neighbor, Andrew is there, offering auto, life, home, health, and more.
Cumberland Exteriors, folks you can trust to protect your home from the elements, with windows, doors, siding, roof metal, and more.
Treehouse Treasures, man's second best friend, keeping you out of the doghouse with the perfect gifts for mothers, daughters, and wives.
And Budget Pest Control, when the Bulldogs win, get 10% off a termite spray that week.
Coming up, we will recap last week's game, find out how the Dogs' opponents fared, delve into a bite of Bulldog history, hear from Clay County coach Matt Bates, and much more as we get ready for kickoff of Bulldog football, streaming live on Horizon Sports Network. This is the David Benjamin TV Phone and Internet Pregame Show. We're thrilled to have all of you with us for our third broadcast of Bulldog football on the Horizon Sports Network. For the second time this season, we're positioned in the Twin Lakes Broadcasting Booth, high atop Joe Neal Leeds Stadium. I'm Daniel Strong, and I'll be bringing you your play-by-play action once again tonight. I'm ecstatic to be accompanied this evening by our network producer, Rob Edwards.
Thank you, Daniel. Happy to be here. Always a pleasure to be here with you and Thomas and be in the booth with two guys as knowledgeable as you are.
And also accompanying us tonight is our analyst and statistician, Thomas Weaver.
Daniel, good to be here tonight. It's a little soggy out there, but so far we're staying dry here in the broadcast booth, Twin Lakes broadcast booth. Tough night for those braving elements here, but the perfect night to stay dry by listening to the game on the Horizon Sports Network.
It is.
So we hope those that don't come out tonight will go to the DelhallaHorizon.com and listen live. We sure kicked this new venture off with a bang by bringing you exciting action of two Clay County victories to start the season. The Dogs have broken a pair of droughts by getting the best of arch rival duo Jackson County and Red Bowling Springs, and they're off to a quick 2-0 start. We made it rain with our first two live stream broadcasts, and we're here tonight getting ready for our third. We would have never gotten this thing off the ground without our sponsors, who didn't bat an eye and jumped on board without even questioning anything. The support's been amazing, hasn't it, Daniel?
It has.
We've even picked up a few more title sponsors this week, including our pregame sponsor, David Benjamin, and several others. Again, I want to personally thank them and the two of you for all you continue to do, Daniel and Rob. We're lucky to have you guys. This has been the definition of a team effort so far.
It's been a pleasure to be involved with, and as we've said each time we broadcast, we hope to improve and get better throughout. And you know, we've had a lot of good responses so far, and we just hope that we can improve on the efforts we've been putting into it.
That's true. And, folks, as I've said before, the Horizon Sports Network is an extension of the Dale Hall Horizon newspaper that my family and I have been publishing here in Salina for the better part of two decades now. And we want our listeners to remember to pick up a copy of the paper next week for full coverage of this game and much more. Last week's print edition chronicled the come-from-behind victory over Red Bowling Springs with a headline that read, Clay 2-0 after 34-12 beatdown of RBS. That's a headline we like to see. Isn't it?
Pretty nice to read, yeah.
Yeah. And it gave an in-depth recap of the Dogs breaking a three-game losing streak to their neighboring county rival. The Horizon story told how Clay County got behind early, battled back behind a career night from junior running back Jared Markham, who we'll hear from later and we'll talk about in depth, their stats and the rest of the team's stats, and those of their opponent.
Well, you know, at this time, Thomas, I've garnered a bit of a scoring summary from that Horizon feature story. So we'll run through that really quick before you deliver some stats to us from last week's game. The game did open up with a long drive by Red Bowling Springs that covered 65 yards, took 12 plays. It ended with a 2-yard touchdown run and a failed 2-point conversion, making the score 6-0 in favor of Red Bowling Springs. The next points would come in the second quarter. Clay County took possession after a fumble at the RBS 9-yard line, and two plays later, Seth Ogletree marched into the end zone from 5 yards out. Then Seth also added the 2-point conversion to take Clay County up 8-6. After yet another Red Bull and fumble, the black and gold took over on the Red Bull and Springs 31, and six plays later, it was Jared Markham's turn to put up six on the board with a 2-yard touchdown run. After a failed conversion attempt, Clay County led 14-6, and that was the score at the half. Third quarter saw the Dogs strike through the air on 4th-and-9 as Markham found B.J. Emberton on a halfback pass for a 39-yard touchdown. Matt Jacoby ran in the conversion attempt to make the score 22-6. Red Bull Springs would find the end zone for the second and final time via a 5-yard run deep into the third quarter. A failed conversion by Red Bull Springs left a score of 22-12 at the quarter's end. The final quarter saw two more trips to the end zone for Clay County. The first, a 43-yard sprint by Jared Markham with a failed conversion, then a final 53-yard touchdown catch for Markham off the arm of Seth Mackey. Another failed conversion placed the final score at Clay County 34, Red Bowling 12.
So needless to say, you named him quite a bit there. Markham led the way when it comes to stats published in the paper. He was the leading rusher, had 16 carries for 110 yards, two touchdowns on the ground, while Seth Ogletree had another good game. 14 carries, 72 yards, a touchdown, an extra point, as you touched on. Matt Jacoby, the senior, had three carries for 16 yards and a 2-point conversion. And then sophomore starting quarterback Jake Ashlock had four nice scrambles for 10 total yards. Fullback Will Ogletree had two carries for 1 yard, and that accounted for the remainder of the 209 total yards the Dogs gained on the ground.
Pretty good. Yeah, good night of rushing.
It has been so far this year. I mean, I think they've hit that mark twice now. 120 more yards and two more touchdowns came through the air, helping Clay County rack up 329 total yards on 50 plays. That's the second week in a row they broke the 300 mark.
We'll continue to win if we can do that.
I agree. Well, Red Bull Springs only mustered 144 total yards and two touchdowns. And the majority of that, as you said, came in the first half. You know, we kind of shut them down after that. Through the air, Ashlock went 4-for-9 for 28 yards. And like Daniel just said, Seth Mackey, the senior, came in, had a 53-yard touchdown to Markham. And then Markham, threw his 39-yarder to Emerton. Markham also finished as the leading receiver with two catches for 61 yards and one being the score. Will Overtree had one for 5, Hayden Cherry had one for 13, and Wyatt Burks got a catch for 2 yards. And then on the defensive side of the ball, we've said multiple times, Dylan Maxfield was the leading solo tackler. He's had a great start to his senior campaign with 9 last week. Will Overtree and Markham both had 5 each. James Short, who came back from injury after missing a game.
Great to have James back.
It was. He had 5. Clark Donaldson, from his defensive back position, came up to make 4 stops. Cherry had 3 and a sack. Then John Copeland, who's kind of our freshman star of the game the first week, he had 3 big tackles. And then our new freshman star of the game against Red Bull, and Dalton Gold, had 3 tackles. But he also had a sack, the 2 forced fumbles, and recovered one on his own. I mean, what a night he had.
Almost as much impact as Markham, you know, as far as individual impact goes.
There's no doubt. And going down the list, Emerton had 2 and a big interception. Wesley Huff, 2. Eli Watson had a tackle and a sack. Joseph Jolin credited with 1, and Gabe Henson with 1. Folks, find that same information and more from tonight's region game versus Republic, including photos in the racks Wednesday this week due to the holiday, and in the mail on Thursday because Labor Day's Monday. We're taking the day off. We also want to remind everybody listening to tell their friends and family to visit DaleHollerHorizon.com to hear a live broadcast and check out our archives link. Because, Daniel, once a game's called live, it's always going to be there. Call them now, text them a link, share it on Facebook, however you do it. Get the word out there for us, folks. We'll be right back with more of the David Benjamin TV Phone and Internet pregame show as we get ready for Clay County and Republic here on the Horizon Sports Network.
You're listening to Bulldog Football, streaming live on the Horizon Sports Network, featuring exciting play-by-play by Daniel Strong and in-depth analysis by Thomas Weaver. Today's broadcast is powered by AC Wireless, your local U.S. cellular dealer.
For the better part of a century, one local business has been there for the people of Clay County when they need it most. Upton Hay Funeral Home of Salina has been helping families and friends honor their loved ones since 1949. Many things have changed over the years, but one thing that has not changed is their continuing commitment of service to the families in Clay and surrounding counties. Upton Hay Funeral Home and its owners, Jimmy Hay and Rob and Monica Weir, are proud supporters of the Clay County Bulldogs and Cheerleaders.
Fishing and boating at Del Hall Lake are some of the best you'll find anywhere. Clay County Chamber of Commerce invites local folks and out-of-town visitors to make plans now for a trip to Del Hall Lake. Not only is the lake home to the world record smallmouth bass, but it's one of the best houseboating lakes in the nation. For more details, you can contact the local chamber at 931-243-3338 or visit delhallalake.org.
The wait is over. You have better things to do with your time other than wait, especially when it comes to accessing your personal funds. With Card at Once from Bank of Salina, our friendly staff now has the ability to distribute fully functioning, personalized debit cards on site. No more waiting days for a card and a pen to be mailed to you. Open up an account today and walk out of our branch ready to use your money with your new debit card. Bank of Salina, serving thousands of customers one at a time. Equal housing member, member FDIC.
Welcome back here on the Horizon Sports Network. This is the David Benjamin TV Phone and Internet Pregame Show. Now it's time for How They Fired from Farm Bureau, brought to you by Salina Agency Manager Daniel Burton. Clay County turns to us for auto, life, health, and home insurance. Coach Edwards, you handled this segment for us. Won't you go ahead this time and take us through the Bulldog opponent's schedule and how they fared last week?
Well, thank you, Daniel. Starting off with Jackson County again, which we'll do every week because they were our first opponent in week one. They climbed into the win column last week, the 2019 squeaker at Cannon County. Blue Devils are now 1-1 on the season. Got back on the bus today, traveled to Westmoreland for their first Region 4AA contest. as we've already talked about, the RBS Red Dogs were sent home last week, to quote Daniel there, with their tail between their legs. And they travel to Gordonsville tonight for a Region 4A matchup.
Probably Gordonsville's first win coming in that one tonight.
Well, you would think that the Tigers are pretty hungry for a win after going 0-2. Republic High School, who's here against the Bulldogs tonight, 0-1 on the season. They took a 63-0 pounding in week one from Pearl Cone, but, you know, you can't get much out of that because Pearl Cone is pretty doggone good year in and year out.
Certainly so. It's a very good program.
They were idle last week. That's why they only have one game in there. In week four, the Bulldogs are going to face off against what appears to be a pretty strong opponent from the TSSAA Private School Division in Mount Judith Christian Academy. Saints are currently 2-0, and they've been lighting up the scoreboard, guys, the last 2 weeks. They scored 45 against Grace Christian of Franklin and 42 against the Watertown Purple Tigers, who we know is a pretty solid team.
Yes.
I'm not mistaken. They beat the Cab week one.
Yeah, Mount Jubit, of course, we've got them next week. Kind of a game. Certainly, we've got a game tonight to take care of, but going to be a tough one next week against Mount Jubit.
Absolutely. They're traveling to Knoxville tonight to take on Concord Christian. They want to be 3-0 when we roll into town next week. Monterey Wildcats, they are 0-2. They're going into a Region 4A matchup tonight with Joe Burns. Last week, the Wildcats lost a close one, 7-6, to the Midway Green Wave. Thomas, Wildcats only scored 13 points in 8 quarters of football this season. That's just not typical of a team off the mountain, I wouldn't think.
They're struggling early. I think we'll get a good gauge of where we stack up in the region after we see the results from this Joe Burns and Monterey matchup tonight. But they've kind of been known to get off to a slow start. They play a tough schedule. I think it was last year, maybe the year before, ended up going pretty deep in the playoffs. So it's not uncommon for the Wildcats.
East Robertson High School out of Region 4AA will be Clay County's opponent in Week 6, currently at 1-1, going into tonight's matchup with the Cascade Champions. As mentioned earlier, Joe Burns will make the trip up Monterey Mountain tonight to face the Wildcats. Red Devils are 1-0 after a 38-0 shutout of Cascade last week and after taking their bye week in week number one. Panthers of Sail Creek High School host 1A perennial powerhouse South Pittsburgh as they look to pull the upset at home and get their first win of this young football season.
That one could get ugly, Rob.
Good luck. Good luck to the Panthers. After a week 9 bye, the Bulldogs are going to travel to Byrdstown, take on Pickett County. Pickett County won its first game last week with a score of 18-15 over the Zion Christian Eagles. Bobcats are idle this week. Next week they'll travel to Clinton County, Kentucky. And in week 10, wrap up the regular season, the Bulldogs will face Gordonsville Tigers, who we just talked about. They were the preseason pick to win Region 4A. They're currently 0-2. But don't let that record fool you, I don't think, guys, because the Tigers' two losses have come at the hands of Watertown and their arch-rival Smith County, both quality programs. And I expect the Tigers are hungry for a win tonight as they host Red Bulling.
I'm sure they are. Definitely a solid program. I wouldn't care what Gordonsville's record was. Always a formidable opponent.
Absolutely.
I misspoke about Watertown. I said they beat the Cav. It was Gordonsville they knocked off in week one, just like you said there, Coach.
Guys, this has been How They Fared from Farm Bureau, brought to you by Salina Agency Manager Daniel Burton. Clay County turns to us for auto, life, and home insurance. Now we're going to kick it back over to Thomas and Daniel for tonight what seemed like a buffet of Bulldog history, guys.
Well, it certainly is, Rob. We appreciate that update during the How They Fared segment from you. It is time for About a Bulldog History. Brought to you by Town Square Antiques, where owners Johnny and Joanne McLaren strive to preserve local history and offer a wide variety of antiques and collectibles. Clay County High School opened in 1919, and it first fielded a football team way back in 1923 when we were the Clay County High School Golden Crusaders. After playing a second season in 1924, no evidence exists of further football activity until 1937, when the sport resumed at the recently renamed Salina High School. When the attack on Pearl Harbor took America by storm in December 1941, football at Salina High and pretty much everywhere was canceled, beginning with what would have been the 1942 season. After a 7-season hiatus, football returned to Salina High School in 1949, and the Golden Crusaders officially became the Bulldogs. Not much changed for the next 60 or so years until in 2003, with the opening of a new building, the school was named Clay County High School again, as it was in 1919. The beloved Bulldog mascot survived the makeover, however, and that's a snapshot of how we got to where we're at here in 2017 today. Now, tonight, during About a Bulldog History, we're going to spend the next several minutes, maybe 10, 15 minutes, we're not sure, discussing individual offensive stat leaders for the Bulldogs over the years. No history exists between Republic and the Bulldogs. This is usually where we would talk about the history between the opponents. We don't have that, so we're going to go back into the past for some leaders. Quickly, I do want to say that statistical information pre-1970 is just hard to find. It's not really out there. I've searched through the Nashville Banner and Herald Citizen and Tennessean for some information from those pre-1970 years. Very hard to come by. So you're not going to hear names like Joneil Eads, Russell Richardson, Charles Vaughn, some of those guys, even Jack Napier later in the 60s. Those names won't appear on these lists tonight. However, if we had that information, Thomas, I've no doubt that several of those guys would be on some of these top lists.
They would, Daniel. And I think that's what makes this so important, what you've done here. You know, we had the information, may it be partial, you know, but you've put in the time and you've recorded this history. Took the time, go back through archives, you even watched a little film, and that's what's important about what you've done here and what people ought to thank you for. I'm going to thank you for it, because those guys from the era you mentioned don't have this.
They don't.
So
there's some stuff out there, you know, somewhere, but it's eluded me. I've looked for it, can't find it, but playing off what you said, I want to turn thank Kevin Donaldson, Don Napier, as well as all other sports reporters over the years for recording this stuff. I know you yourself strive each week to put accurate information in the newspaper, so in 50 years, somebody can pick up a 2017 copy of the Delhalla Horizon and say, hey, Jared Markham threw for a touchdown, ran for one, and caught one all in the same game. So,
I'm glad you mentioned those guys, because what little I do know, I learned from them.
Right, absolutely. Well, without any further delay, let's just jump on into this. We don't have a perfect format for going through this stuff. We just want to share as many names as possible. We are focusing on the offensive side of the football during this segment. Next week, before the Mount Juliet game, we'll go on air again early to bring you some defensive information. So, first, rushing leaders per game. We're going to do top rushing leaders in individual games. Two guys are tied in 10th place here with 208 yards. That would be Gary Davis against Macon County in 1993 and Trey Richardson with 208 against Monterey in 2006. So tied for 10th place, Davis and Richardson. Moving on up the list, we see tied for 8th place here, also Gary Davis again, along with T.J. Key. Davis in 1994 ran for 210 yards against Red Bull and Springs, and T.J. Key in 2008 ran for 210 yards against Mount Juliet Christian. Coming in at 7th on the single game list is Billy Smith with 232 yards against Upperman High School in 1980.
Now you got to say who that is. That's T. Kettle.
That's true. Billy T. Kettle Smith, property tax assessor, I guess, here in the county. Outstanding athlete back during his time. Coming in at 6th, single game record, J.R. Fraga, 236 yards against Watertown in 2012. Gary Davis again, coming in at 5th on the list with 241 yards against Macon County in 1994. Jimmy Crane Cole makes his first appearance of many mentions tonight with 243 yards against Friendship Christian in 1985. Thomas, you mentioned that's probably a playoff game as we was looking through this, and I think that's exactly correct. Coming in at 3rd on the list is Gary Davis once again, 276 yards versus Monterey his junior year in 1993. 2nd, J.R. Fraga, 296 yards versus Red Bull and Springs just a few short years ago in 2013. And at the top of the individual list for single game rushers is Trey Richardson, the only Bulldog to officially, I guess we could say, break 300 yards in one night. That was against Mount Juliet Christian in 2006, where Trey Richardson ran for 312 yards. So there's the top 10 of rushing leaders per game. We did also have six other listings of black and gold players that had 200 to 207 yards, and 36 listings of players with 150 to 199. Certainly can't mention all of those names, but wanted to throw that out there.
What a great list, and I think we're going to hear those names time and time again as we go through this, Daddy. You know, you got Davis on there four times on the top 10 rushing list per game, and then Jimmy Crankhole also. I'm going to quickly run down the rushing leaders for a season. We'll start at the bottom again. Prior to these 10, we have seven other listings of 800 to 999 yards, so up to 1,000. And then we're going to start with number 10. That would be Gary Eads in 1981, had 1,002 yards. That would be the...
As a quarterback. Rushing for 1,000 yards. Pretty impressive.
I knew that. I just forgot. And then, folks, Daniel knows all this by heart. Number 9, J.R. Fraga again there, 2013, had 1,033 yards. And another name we're probably going to call a lot tonight at number 8, Brian Burchett, had 1,056 yards in 1990. And then there's that man, Jimmy Crankhole, 1,062 yards in 1983. And his cohort, Gary Davis, in 1992, had 1,091 yards. And then at number 5, there's Richardson. Looks like the same. No, that was a different year. Besides his leading night, he had 1,124 yards in 2007. And here comes Pete Kettle at number 4. He's back in there, 1,255 yards in 1980. And then you get to the top 3 here. You got Davis and Hull. Again, we're going to hear those names a lot. Gary Davis. His second best season was 1,468 yards his senior year in 1994. Jimmy Hull comes in at number 2 with 1,633 in 85. And then Gary, he had the most rushing yards in the season his junior year, 1,644 yards in 1993, Daniel.
Well, quickly, I want to make mention there. We've got a lot more stuff to cover. Davis did only eclipse Hull's record by 11 yards, so a very close race. However, Hull had his single-season record at that time. It was the record of 1,633 in 1985 in that 14-game semifinal run.
That's true.
Davis had 1,644, 11 more yards, in only 11 games, so three less games, but still came up with 11 more yards. So
I think Crank will take that semifinal.
Absolutely.
Over on in the top season.
Without a doubt, Thomas. Well, let's jump down to the career rushing leaders. We apologize if there's any mistakes, ladies and gentlemen. If we go through this and you feel that we have neglected somebody that should be on this list, please send us an email at info@dalehollahorizon.com. We'll be glad to address that. We'll start off number 10, on the all-time rushing list, Eric Webb, who played from 1987 to 1990. Thomas, he tabulated 1,619 yards during his years as a Bulldog.
Tough, hard-nosed runner there for sure. At number 9, we come in with J.R. Fraga. We mentioned his name before, 2010 to 2013, 1,684.
Above him in 8, Gary Eads, once again a quarterback, still running and showing up on this list. 1,754 career rushing yards. He played from 1978 to 1981.
Then you got Jason Narhead Hamilton, comes in at number 7. He's got 1,819 yards from 1986 to 1989.
As I was talking to Jason the other day about this list, me and him were discussing how he set out his entire sophomore season. And I'm sure some other guys missed several games on this list, but pretty much Hamilton accumulated those 1,819 yards in 3 seasons.
Right.
Moving on up to number 6, Jeff Korth, a feared fullback from the early 80s. He played from 1980 to 1983. He comes in at 6 with 1,924 yards in his career.
You got Dwayne McLaren. All names people are used to hearing. Dwayne McLaren, 1,971 yards from 1976 to 1979. He breaks into the top 5.
Above him, number 4, Craig Ogletree, the highest gaining fullback on this list. Craig has 2,328 career rushing yards, played from 1983 to 1986. Without a doubt, for people of my age anyway, the most feared fullback in the history of Clay County football for a young timer like me anyway.
I'm still scared of him. I'm kidding, Craig. And then we go to number three. There's Richardson. Had a great career. Was the single game leader in yards and made the rushing leaders first season. He sits at number three with 2,499 yards, and he got those from 2004 to 2007.
Coming in at number two is the great Jimmy Crancole. 3,677 yards during his career from 1982 to 1985. Until Davis came along, Hull was the epitome of a high school tailback here in Clay County.
He was, and I actually gave him a call over in Cookeville at Progressive Savings Bank this week just to talk to him about his career. And, you know, he was happy to hear from me. He doesn't get to Salina very often, but we talked about him going to Tech and his career there. And he had a great career there. You know, he was kind of a utility man. He played tailback his freshman year. And then offense changed, and he moved to wing and wide receiver and picked up some receiving yards. And along the way, he was a backup punter and a backup kicker at Tech.
A good place kicker here, and we'll cover that in a few weeks on about Little
right.
Dog history.
But the biggest thing about Crank's career at the next level, he got hurt in fall camp, right at the end of fall camp, and missed his senior season. So that was a shame for him, but no doubt he's one of the Bulldog legends, Daniel.
Thomas, I'm going to go ahead and let you call off number one. He's a teammate of yours. You played all through your high school career with him, know a lot about his collegiate career. I'll let you take care of the honors for number one.
Well, our all-time leading rusher, and that was my teammate, and I'm proud to say Gary Davis, one of the best athletes that's ever come through this school, arguably can be called the best football player with what he accomplished here in Salina and what he accomplished at the next level at MTSU. He had a total of 4,274 yards during my time from 1991 to 1994. And another thing about Gary, he was a great athlete, but what he did at middle, you know, he was all OVC tight end there, played all 4 years, got a degree, got a good job helping people with Metro Nashville now. And that's the way he was in high school, Daniel. He was just a good guy, a great guy, kept to himself, never complained. We rode him hard.
How many times would Gary carry the ball a game to get those 4,000 yards?
I'd be afraid to guess, but he was our workhorse. Never complained one bit. Stood in the huddle late in the games with his hands on his knees and just raised his head, nodded, and took the ball again.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, all-time leading career rusher at Salina High School, Gary Davis. We're going to quickly jump into some rushing touchdown leaders now. First of all, an individual game. There's a slew of people that are coming in officially tied at fourth. All of these individuals scored four touchdowns in a single contest. I'll read those off here. Benji Bailey, Gary Davis, Crank Hull three different times, Craig Ogletree, Trey Richardson, and Kyle Whitlow have all recorded four rushing touchdowns in a single game. There are three other Bulldogs who are tied at first on the rushing touchdown list for single game touchdowns, and that would be Gary Davis, J.R. Fraga, and Trey Richardson, who all own the record of having five rushing touchdowns in a single game. Very impressive. Lots of points put up by all these men over the years. We see Kyle Whitlow jump in at 10th. I believe he's an individual, Thomas. There's a gap in some stats around the time he played, which would have been from 2000 to 2003, or we probably would have seen Whitlow on some of the other lists we mentioned before. An excellent running back here, too.
Then you jump over to rushing touchdown leaders in a season. We'll go from the bottom up again. Tied for ninth, a three-way tie with 12 each, is Matt Brown, Gary Eads, and Jeff Korth. And then tied for seventh two ways, Dwayne McLaren and Narhead, back in the late 70s and 80s. And then you got an athlete we haven't mentioned yet, but we're going to quite a bit, or we may have earlier. I guess we did. I'm sorry. But Brian Burchett had 14 rushing touchdowns in 1990. Trey Richardson again, 15 in 2007, and then Crank Hull was 15, tied for that fourth place in 1983. And then again, the top three are held down by Gary Davis. He had number two and number three, 19 in 94 and 20 in 1993. And then Hull gets him on the touchdowns per season. He had 28, and that's historic 1985 season where, you know, we all look back and we talk about the best team, at least the one that went the farthest.
They were.
Hall took them to the semifinals.
That's an average of two rushing touchdowns a game, so outstanding there. I will quickly make mention about Burchett on these rushing lists. Burchett only played tailback his senior year of high school. He was Stephen Arms' favorite receiver prior to that. Actually played some quarterback at one time when Arms was hurt. But if Burchett had played tailback all 4 years, I've no doubt we would be mentioning him along with Davis and Hull. Rushing touchdown leaders in a career. Number 10, Brian Burchett. The bulk of that did come. 14 of those 17 career touchdowns came in his senior year. Coming in at number 9, Gary Eads had 19 touchdowns. Number 8, Eric Webb scored 20 rushing touchdowns. Number 7 on the list, Jeff Korth with 21 rushing touchdowns. Dwayne McLaren with 23 during his career. Number 5, Jason Narhead Hamilton with 24. Number 4 on the list, Trey Richardson with 29 career rushing touchdowns. Number 3, Craig Ogletree with 31. And then there's Davis and Hull. You've said it each time. Gary Davis comes in at second here with 50 career rushing touchdowns. And Jimmy Crank Hull is number 1 on rushing touchdowns in the career with 54 during his 4 years from 1982 to 1985.
Those are huge numbers, Daniel. I mean, if you look down number 3, Craig's got just a little over 30. And then they jump into that 50 category.
Well, and Craig, with his 31, was on the same team with Hull with his 54. He stayed one season longer than Hull, but most of those 85 combined touchdowns happened when they were on the field together.
Let's quickly get into the longest touchdown runs. You got Craig Ogletree at number 10 with an 80-yarder. And then Rodney Langford in 1996 had an 80-yarder. Jimmy Hull, 80-yarder versus Jackson County in 1983. A new name for us, Neil Bartlett, broke one for 83 yards versus Baxter in 1978. And then there you are, Daniel. Showing the speed.
That's 80, not a typo.
88-yarder versus Monterey in 1999. From your quarterback position,
right,
I assume.
Right.
And then you're tied with Kurt Cherry, who also had an 88-yarder in 2008. And then, to make it even more interesting, your father, Jerry Strong, comes in at number 4 with 89-yard touchdown run against Trousdale County back in 1970.
Only touchdown they scored in the game. Quarterback sneak. Took it 89 yards.
I'll be darned. And then the new name, Cedric Peacock, had a 90-yarder against Livingston in 2000. And then one we'll get into probably when we tip over into passing and receiving. Greg Craig had a 94-yarder versus David Lipscomb back in 1974. But the longest one comes from Kurt Cherry in 2011, a 95-yard touchdown run versus Red Bonnet Springs.
Thomas, this time I think maybe we need to go to a break. This segment is, we had a lot more information we wanted to carry on. Kickoff will be coming up here in about 18 minutes, 16 and a half or so minutes from here at John Teeples Field at Clay County High School. We're going to have to postpone the rest of About a Bulldog History. So this has been About a Bulldog History brought to you by Town Square Antiques, where owners Johnny and Joanne McLaren strive to preserve local history and offer a wide variety of antiques and collectibles. Clay County Farm Supply is not only your local one-stop shop for all things farm-related, but they also carry a full line of Pro Hardware brand products, building supplies, and much more. Owners Randy and Charlotte Copeland make sure their business is the community's leader in farm products and feed while offering a wide array of home improvement building supplies. Why go anywhere else? Stop in today or give them a call at 931-243-4169. Their entire staff wishes the Dogs best of luck this football season. Clay County Farm Supply, your one-stop shop for all things farm-related, plus so much more. This is Daniel Strong, the voice of the Bulldogs on the Horizon Sports Network, and I want to tell you about AC Wireless's U.S. Cellular MiFi hotspot. This small device powers our live stream broadcast of Bulldog football wherever we go, so I know it can give you all the high-speed Wi-Fi internet service you could possibly want. Go to AC Wireless in Salina today. Give them a call at 931-243-4545 or look them up on Facebook for all the latest smartphone deals and events. AC Wireless, your local U.S. cellular dealer.
Whether you've been hurt in the game, just had surgery, or need wound care treatment, Cumberland River Outpatient Rehabilitation Center is here to help you get back to what you enjoy. The therapists at Cumberland River Outpatient Rehabilitation Center are committed to providing clinically superior, cost-effective therapy services for our community. No matter what age you are, we will get you back in the game. We are located at 100 Old Jefferson Street, Solana, Tennessee. Call 931-243-5250 for more information today. Getting you back in the game.
Now, Bulldog fans, let's go inside the locker room with head football coach Matt Bates. Brought to you by Ridgetop Farms, proud supporters of Clay County football. This is Thomas Weaver here inside the Russell Richardson Doghouse, just hours away from Clay County's home matchup with Republic High School, the Dogs' second Region 4A contest of the season. I'm here with new Bulldog head coach Matt Bates and junior running back and defensive back Jared Markham for this week's edition of Inside the Locker Room. Guys, thanks for inviting us in today.
Thomas, thanks for coming back again.
It's good to be here.
You're off to a good start, Coach, 2-0, huge win over Red Bullen to break a three-game losing streak, and you took the first step towards a playoff berth with your first region win.
Yeah, big night. Had to overcome a little adversity early. We talked about it last week, and the kids fought back. We overcame and got the big win.
Had a huge crowd, maybe the biggest ever at Joe Neal Eads Stadium. You really got Bulldog Nation fired up with a Jackson County win, and now you got it rolling.
Well, hopefully we can keep it rolling tonight, you know. Everybody came out, big crowd, of course. We had the Lifefly helicopter bring the game ball in. That was neat.
It was.
Russell West had the fire truck over there, so it was going. So it was a neat night for everybody.
It turned out good, but you kind of got off to a rough start. Kind of an ugly start on our part with the penalties, the mental mistakes. And then they jumped out 6-0 and really had their way with us early, Coach.
Yeah, we knew that could be a possibility, having John Copeland at that backside defensive tackle. We thought they might take advantage of him. And they did. We kind of let it play out maybe a little too long on that drive. We made some adjustments on the second drive and pretty much shut them down.
And as you say, made those adjustments and then got it rolling after senior Dylan Maxfield, who's had a huge start to his senior campaign. He got a big fourth down stop. We overcome another fumble on the goal line thanks to freshman Dalton Goad, who made his presence known. And then last week, star Seth Ogletree punches it in, gets a two-point conversion. All of a sudden, we're back up 8-6.
Definitely, it was a big momentum change there by Dalton, and then we were able to capitalize, which is even bigger. You know, obviously, the turnover was big, being able to capitalize on that short field is huge.
Talk about the freshmen just a little bit. We had Copeland in week one, Dalton Gold this week, two forced fumbles. He recovered one, had a sack. Several tackles. Wow. I mean, from a freshman, Coach?
Well, the thing is, you know, he had a motorcycle wreck in preseason, or I think he has the same impact against Jackson County as he did against Red Bull. He's just a good player, knows football, has a good motor, and stronger than all get out.
And Ogletree, he did it again, over 70 yards and the first momentum swinging touchdown.
Yeah, huge. You know, he's consistent. He's finding a knack for what he does and how to do it, and, hey, he's capitalizing.
Then this man, sitting next to you here, Coach, he got it rolling right before the half, got his first of four scores on the night. How huge was that heading into halftime, up 14-6?
It was a momentum changer. You know, I felt like 8-6, it's definitely a ball game, and they've got some momentum still from that early drive. But when we were able to go 14-6 right before half, again, we scored 2 weeks in a row right before half. I saw them walking off the field, and they started being really dejected. So it changed that for them, their outcome.
You could see it. And then in the second half, behind Markham, you guys poured it on right out of the gate. He found B.J. Emerton for his first touchdown of his career, mm-hmm. broke a long one, and then caught a bomb from senior Seth Mackey to finish off his impressive night. Talk about his huge performance. I mean, he had over 100 yards, two rushing touchdowns, caught one, and threw one. What an eye, Coach.
Pretty neat little trifecta offensively there for him. I told the coaches going to Jackson County, if it gets tight, I'll take the gloves off and we'll throw some trick plays out there. And I felt like Red Bullen was just hanging around, and I thought if we could throw a couple of things out at them and cause them to start pointing fingers and doing some things you don't want your team to do, we could break their will, and sure enough, broke it.
And Jared, let's go to you. You know, never beaten Red Bowling before. How did it feel good? It had to feel good to stick it to Red Bowling for the first time in your career.
Yeah, it felt real good. First time we beat them in 3 years. First time for me in high school career.
Well, we were proud to see it. We like to take care of those rivalries. And the way you did it, I mean, it was the night of your life, or at least that's the way I described it in the newspaper. You ever think you would score three different ways in one game?
No, I didn't. That was the first time for me.
Maybe even more impressive to me, Jared, is how you changed your game this season. We all know the breakaway threat you've been throughout your career. And you showed you still got that with the big plays you pulled off last Friday night. But I've been impressed with your north and south running, your patience, your vision between the tackles, and the trust Coach Bates has put in you to control the tempo and take care of the ball. Tell me about that transition you made to become the go-to guy in crunch time.
I just had to start trusting my line more to make the blocks, and I just got to make the read, get through the line.
Well, it's been impressive so far, the way you've controlled that tempo and how you've pounded away and then take advantage with your breakaway speed. And as you mentioned, your line, you've had some good holes to run through so far this year. What about the play of this offensive line, led by seniors Dylan Maxfield, Eli Watson, and Joseph Short?
They did a really good job last Friday getting their blocks, making holes where you can get through.
Coach, it was like Markham had had enough and just kind of wheeled his team to victory over Red Bowling.
Yeah, it was definitely a good show by him. You know, it's a team effort, but the way he played, and, you know, I think people forget quickly, he plays defense too. You know, he's one of our more shut-down corners. You don't see many balls completed on him. So he had a good game defensively as well, so it was just all-around good night.
And he's not the only player this year. It seems like every game you have somebody else step up.
Yeah, I mean, I think we counted, we got five or six different people that have scored points, whether it be two-point conversions or touchdowns on the season. So it's kind of hard to key just on one guy. And those guys, you know, they're unselfish. They don't care who gets the points. Let's just win.
Well, hopefully they can keep it rolling tonight, Coach, against Republic, as you try to make it a 3-0 start for the first time in 20 years. 1997, I think, was
1997. I was in middle school, so it's been a while.
Well, what do we got to do to keep that rolling? You told me earlier this week in an interview for the paper that you really didn't know a whole lot about Republic.
Yeah, and we still don't. You know, I've talked to a lot of guys this week, trying to find stuff out. Nobody knows a whole lot. They played one game. In fact, here's how much people don't know about them. Oakland, 6A Power, Oakland High School out of Murfreesboro, will be here tonight, some of their staff, just to watch and try to figure it out, because they don't know. Nobody knows. You know, Oakland's one of the premier programs, so if they're coming because they don't know, I feel okay with our position not knowing. So, but.
Well, they did get pounded in their first game by Pearl Cone, and, you know, this is their first year as a varsity program. How do you keep your guys focused so that they're not overlooking this team?
Well, we just talk about being 1-0 again this week. That's our goal, is to be 1-0 this week. We've probably focused more on us than anything this week, us getting better at what we do, and that's just where we're at.
Jared, same to you. How's the mood been this week? I know we've had some bad weather. Tell me about practice this week and how you're preparing for this virtually unknown team.
Everybody's been really, really excited for the game. Everybody's been practicing real hard.
Well, and that's another thing. It looks like it's going to be a nasty night maybe on John Teagle's field, to coach, with the remnants of Hurricane Harvey continuing to pour down here on the Upper Cumberland. Does the weather help or hurt us? I assume we're going to see a lot of Markham and his ball security tonight.
Yeah, I'd say probably a little more run game, probably not as many passes. Of course, we've thrown the ball 11 times in each game this year. So I say tonight we'll cut that number down a few and try to get out of here with nobody getting hurt and try not to turn the ball over tonight. That's going to be a hard one tonight.
My colleague, Horizon Sports Network producer Rob Edwards, said post-game last week, after breaking two losing streaks, you know, against Jackson County Red Bowling, he said, you know, it's time to start a new streak of our own against Republic. What's our chances of doing that tonight, Coach?
You know, same thing as they are every week. We block, we tackle, we don't turn the ball over. We're going to be fine. We got some adversity. You know, we might face a little bit tonight because we don't know what they are. We know they're super fast and athletic. So we got some unknowns. It's kind of like the first ball game, honestly, all over again is what I feel like.
All right, guys. Thanks for having us here today. Tune in next week to hear what Coach has to say about the Week 4 matchup with Mount Juliet Christian, who the Dogs will face on the road next Friday night. We'll be there, in Mount Juliet to call it live. See you then. This has been Inside the Locker Room with head football coach Matt Bates. Brought to you by Ridgetop Farm, proud supporter of Clay County football.
Welcome back to the Twin Lakes Broadcast Booth and the David Benjamin pregame show. It's time for the Homer Improvement Keys to the Game, where we ask Thomas his thoughts on how the Dogs can win tonight. Thomas, what's the overall key to success tonight?
Well, I think tonight's about the Bulldogs and how they play. With the unknown Republic coming in here, like Coach Bates said, it's not really about the game plan or how the Trailblazers do. It's going to come down to how Clay County plays and whether or not they can stay focused and come out and play Bulldog football.
What about specifically on offense?
Well, we saw what Ogletree did week one, what Markham did last week. This team's proven they've got multiple weapons, and Coach Bates has utilized them well so far. I think he'll do that again tonight. We'll get a good dose of both of those guys on the ground just due to the weather, but I think blowing this thing open tonight might be the rebirth, so to speak, of sophomore starting quarterback Jake Ashlock. Kind of had a rough outing last week, Daniel, after his record-breaking debut against Jackson County. And, you know, when Bates sees those safeties cheating up tonight, whether it's raining or not, whether it's sloppy, I think he's going to take a shot.
What about Coach Maxfield, our defensive coordinator, and his defensive crew?
Well, I was fortunate to watch a little bit of film on the Trailblazers this week, and they've definitely got some athletes, but they're still learning how to play the game. And that being said, if they get loose, they could hit us quick, but if we can keep them bottled up at the line of scrimmage, we should dominate, Daniel. Their quarterback looks to be the most dangerous, and look for Republic to go to the air some, even though the ball's going to be wet. But if we can just play within ourselves, put up the points we should, get it to our weapons, control the line of scrimmage on the defensive side, maybe come up with that big turnover, I think the Dogs stay unbeaten tonight with an impressive margin of victory over this new region foe, Republic High School.
And that's been the keys of the game from analyst Thomas Weaver, brought to you by Homer Improvement. When you get to it and can't do it, call the contractor that's used to it.
You're listening to Bulldog Football, streaming live on the Horizon Sports Network, featuring exciting play-by-play by Daniel Strong and in-depth analysis by Thomas Weaver.
Okay.
Today's broadcast is powered by AC Wireless, your local U.S. cellular dealer.
All right, welcome back, folks, here to sloppy Joe Neal Eads Stadium in the Twin Lakes broadcast booth. Now we're going to wrap up our pregame show with the Treehouse Treasures pregame parting gift. A final word for our listeners before kickoff. Guys, I think there's three keys to tonight's game. I think Thomas touched on those just a few minutes ago. One, the mental aspect. I think that the Bulldogs 2-0 coming in, adverse conditions this week in practice. I think they've got to stay focused from start to finish. Can't get a slow start like they did last week against Red Bull and need to start and play four full quarters. Obviously, number two, ball security. You know, you don't get to practice football in these conditions very much, so it's going to be crucial tonight to take care of the ball. Finally, you look out on the field, and like you said, Thomas, you know, Republic has some athletes out there. I think we got to contain their athletes. We do those three things. Dogs are going to be 3-0 for the first time since I was a much younger man, 1997.
It's been a while, 20 years ago. I agree with Rob. I kind of hit on it, the keys to the game. The key might be tonight, who can stay the driest? Maybe who's got the longest cleats? It's nasty out here, Daniel.
Certainly wet, and I agree with my partners here. Clay County should roll tonight if they can just hang on to the football. I do predict that the team with the least amount of turnovers will win this game. Worst conditions I've seen in over 10 years for a Clay County Bulldog football game. So, this has been the pregame parting gift, and it's been brought to you by Treehouse Treasures, man's second best friend, keeping you out of the doghouse with the perfect gifts for mothers, daughters, and wives. At this time, we're quickly going to take our eyes to the skies, and it's easy to see rain. We're going to bring you the Cumberland Exteriors Weather Report. Temperature here at kickoff tonight is 64 degrees. Around halftime, it should be 61. And at the end of the game, 59 degrees. The humidity is right at 100% with all this moisture. Yesterday, we had 1 3/10 of rain here in Salina. Today, so far, we've had about 4/10, giving us a two-day total of 1.7 inches of rain. Chance of pre-sip is high throughout this contest. We do have a strong wind of 8 miles an hour out of the southwest. And this has been the weather report brought to you by Cumberland Exteriors, folks you can trust to protect your home from the elements. At this time, we will conclude our David Benjamin telephone, internet, and TV pregame show as we see the Dogs taking the field against the Trailblazers. The Trailblazers did win the toss, and they have elected to receive. I'm going to quickly give the State Farm starting lineup for you here. If I can find it, I apologize.
We'll get to that after kickoff. Looks like they're lining up here, Daniel.
They are. At number 5, Gabe Henson set to kick off for the Bulldogs. They will be kicking off to the Republic High School Trailblazers for the first time in history here at John Peebles Field. We're proudly positioned here in the Twin Lakes broadcast booth, and now 5 Henson does approach. It's a high pooch kick to the right, fielded to the 30-yard line by number 11 for the Trailblazers. He starts to follow on the ball, but then picks it up, has a short return. So a safe kickoff for the Bulldogs here as we get ready to start in action. The Trailblazers will take over possession of the ball at their own. Looking for the spot here, I think it's going to be the 32-yard line. So Trailblazers, first and 10 from the 32. Here we see a very, very wet conditions tonight. Not a lot of fans have braved the elements, but several have as we look down upon the bleachers here.
Looks like all I see is umbrellas, Daniel.
A lot of umbrellas, that's for sure. Trailblazers first and 10 come out. Looks like a 2 tight end set and double wing, single back set, quarterback under center. 11 minutes and 53 seconds on the clock. Obviously, a scoreless game. Ball's already on the ground for the first of probably several times tonight. Trailblazers do maintain possession, though, as the quarterback falls on the ball. Yardage will be lost on the play. Now it's being spotted at the Trailblazer 31. So a loss of 1 on the play for the Trailblazers.
That's 2 snaps, or 2 plays, I'm sorry, on the kickoff and the first snap. The ball's been on the ground. We're going to see a lot of that tonight, Daniel, in these conditions.
Second 11 coming up for the Trailblazers. We do not know a whole lot about this team. They're brand new to Region 4A out of Nashville, Tennessee. And here they are on second 11. Quarterback under center. Ball snap. Toss sweep to the right. Running back slips. He maintains his footing, though. Breaks one tackle. But he is going to be brought down. Try to bring you the tackler on the play. Maybe number 61, James Short.
Short was in there. I think that was Gold that almost had him in the backfield. He picked up that first stop.
Number 62, Gold, starting at nose guard tonight for the Bulldogs. We'll bring you the starting lineups when we get a break in the action. Ball now sets at the Trailblazer 29-yard line, so another loss of 1 on the play for the Trailblazers to set up a 3rd and 12 play here. Passing situation on a lot of nights, but I'm not sure with these conditions. Trailblazer quarterback under center, one back behind him, twin receivers to the left. Ball snapped once again on the ground. Ball's picked up and thrown, though, by the Trailblazer quarterback, and it is incomplete. So early here after 3 plays, we're going to see a Trailblazer punt. Each play of that drive, including the kickoff, football has been on the ground.
Yeah, I don't know what you do about that in these conditions, Daniel. I mean, the rain continues to come down. It's not a hard rain, just misty rain. It's kind of foggy here at John Peebles Field, and they're back to punt.
Number 5, Gabe Henson, I believe, back deep to receive the Bulldogs. Long snap, but mishandled by the punter. He falls on it. Bulldogs are going to take over with a very short field with 10 minutes and 15 seconds on the clock. They will take over at the Trailblazer 25-yard line. So sophomore quarterback Jake Ashlock and his team are only 25 yards from the end zone as they take over possession.
Well, let's see what we can do with it. Again, like you said, in the parting gift and the keys to the game, we all said ball security. Republic didn't have that to start. Let's see if we can.
Ashlock starting for his 3rd varsity game here at quarterback for head coach Matt Bates and the Bulldogs. He brings in the play. Now the Bulldogs break huddle on 1st and 10. Ball at the Trailblazer 25. Ogletree at right wing. Seth Mackey playing fullback. Markham at left wing gets a roll out to the right by Ashlock. He's not looking to pass, only run. Lowers his shoulder against the defender. Picks up a few on the play. The ball is going to be spotted at the 18-yard line. So a pickup of Oh, seven. Pick up a seventh rash knock on the play on first down. So Coach Bates keeping the ball on the ground, as he probably will a whole lot tonight. We have a second and three.
That may be the way to do it. And when you got an athlete like Ashlock in the backfield, don't risk that fumble. Do you think he was looking to pass? I mean, he was rolling out, looking upfield, but he tucked it.
The ball was tucked quickly, Thomas. And here we are, second and three. Ashlock under center, Mackey at fullback, Markman Ogletree at wings, Markman in motion to the right. Ball snap, looking to pass. A little double move going for Emerson. A little curl and go, but he set back down the curl, and it is a complete pass. Should give us first down yardage. Is the ball now being spotted down at the Trailblazer 12-yard line? So, we were wrong again. Me and Thomas last, sometimes we're notorious for guessing wrong about what might be coming up next. And after we said that Coach Bates may not go to there, they did throw a pass for the first complete pass of the night. So a first down now. Ball is being spotted. We'll call it the 13-yard line rather than the 12. Trailblazer into the field. Bulldogs are driving left to right. From our vantage point, have 9 minutes on the clock. Ball snapped. It's given to Seth Overture on our left side. He cuts it up between guard and tackle. There's a little bit of room, but he's met by a host of Republic Trailblazers and driven back. Forward progress may have got him back to the line of scrimmage. We'll have to see where the ball's being spotted. Hard to see. Anytime the Dogs are to the far right from our vantage point here at the Twin Lakes broadcast booth, it's a little bit more difficult for us to see. We're positioned around the 45-yard line on the opposite end of the field. So we prefer when the Dogs are in front of us, but they are driving towards the Russell Richardson Fieldhouse.
Ball's three on that, Daniel.
Getting three. Gain of three. That time for Ogletree. So second and seven. Ball spotted on the 10-yard line. Ashlock in the shotgun formation. Ball snapped. He has its quarterback run to the right. He has a blocker out front. Gets back. Going to pick up 2 yards on the play. Ball going to be spotted at the 8-yard line. Should set up a third and five for the Bulldogs here early in this contest. 8 minutes now on the clock and ticking down. It is a scoreless game here in the first quarter.
The Dogs got a chance to pick up a first down here, and they may need it, as sloppy as it is.
They very well may. Ashlock now trotting over, getting the play from head coach Matt Bates on the sideline, heading back out to the field. The Dogs have played pretty quickly at times in the first two games of the season. Tonight it looks like they're slowing the pace down a little bit. Ashlock under center for third and five. Double wing set. Mackey at the fullback. Emerson split left. Markham in speed motion to the right. It's a fake to him. Giving to Mackey up the gut. He's going to pick up some yardage. Ball's going to be spotted now on the 5-yard line. So very close to first down pickup. They are signaling fourth down, though. Once again, ball spotted at the 5-yard line. Fourth and a long one for the Bulldogs here on this play. First fourth down of this game last week, if you were listening to us here on the Horizon Sports Network, you heard the call of Jared Markham on fourth and nine, throw a touchdown pass of 39 yards to B.J. Emerson for his first score of the season. Hoping we'll see more success on fourth down as now Ashlock goes under center, trying to draw Republic off sides. And unless we made a mistake, I think we did get them. Flags have been thrown. I believe it was defensive off sides rather than a false start on offense. We'll have to wait for the conference midfield between the officials. They're getting things sorted out. A lot of penalties last week. Hopefully Clay Kenny can play a cleaner game tonight. And yes, he is going to be stepping off against the Trailblazers. So it should be first and goal for the Bulldogs here as the ball is being spotted on what appears to be the 3-yard line. So Clay County very close to putting the ball in the end zone here on this opening drive. 6 minutes and 46 seconds on the clock as Ashlock goes under center for a first and goal play, 3-yard line. Official blows the whistle, brings the play in. Markham in motion from left to right. He gets the snap. He's headed to the end zone. Is he going to make it? He does. Jared Markham, he had several touchdowns last week, and we start early here tonight. So touchdown Jared Markham, touchdown Clay County. As Clay County goes up 6-0 with 8 minutes and 34 seconds in this first quarter clock.
Just a simple little counterplay to Markham from his wing position. Again, as we talked earlier, Coach Bates, I felt like he'd put it in his hands tonight. He's their ball security guy, and he punched it in right there, Daniel.
Here the Dogs come for a two-point conversion. Ashok's going to be under center, double wing formation. Also double tied in, a new look given to Ogletree on the left side, fighting hard for the corner. He is going to get there, I believe. Waiting for the signal. I do not see it yet. No, he did not make it. It sure did look like Seth Oaktree was going to make it to the pylon. He did not. So we have a score of 6 for Clay County, none for the Republic Trailblazers. 8 minutes and 34 seconds on this first quarter clock.
Solana Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility, has been providing skilled nursing care and rehab services here in Solana for over 40 years. We serve Southern Kentucky and area Tennessee counties, including Clay, Jackson, Overton, and Macon. This is Activities Director Corey Barlow reminding you it is our goal for you and your loved one to receive quality, compassionate care by well-trained professionals who serve you from their heart. Give us a call at 931-243-3139 or visit us on the web at SolanaHealthAndRehab.com. Good luck, Bulldogs, in your upcoming season from Solana Health and Rehabilitation Center.
And we're back here at John Peoples Field. It's the Clay County Bulldogs have just scored, making the score 6-0 in their favor with 6 minutes and 34 seconds, I believe it says, on that first quarter clock. That's us at 8:34. Thomas, quickly tell us about that drive.
It was a sustained drive off the short field, 7 plays. Ashlock picked up a few yards on that run, and then Mackey, the senior in there at fullback for Ogletree this week, I think. And then Markham capped it with a 3-yard touchdown run. His first of the night. How many will we see tonight, Daniel?
Oh, several, I'm sure, on this wet and soggy night, as we said in the Cumberland Exteriors Weather Report. Almost 2 inches of rain in the last 48 hours. His number 5, Gabe Henson, a junior, prepared to kick the ball off. The wind blew it off the tee. It is a nasty night here. But Clay Kenny's leading 6-0, so our spirits are high. He's waiting for the whistle. He receives it. Henson now approaching the ball. His team comes with him. Ball's kicked. It's going to be a short line drive kick right up the middle, mishandled by a Trailblazer. But once again, it's picked up off the ground, returned to the right side. He has a little bit of room. Going to have about a 15-yard return to bring the ball down to be spotted on the Trailblazer 38-yard line, I do believe.
That's what we're talking about, Daniel, the athletes they have. You give them a little crease and they get out there. I like seeing the two Bulldog defenders skid about 20 yards on that sideline. There's so much water on the field on the far sideline. Look like they're on a slip and slide.
It's certainly very moist. Going to bring you the starting lineups for the Clay County defense here in just a moment. We're going to get this first down play in from the Trailblazers first. Trailblazers now, quarterback under center, one right receiver to the left, one to the right, two back set, ball being snapped, given to the tailback, a ton of room for him. He's already picked up 10, crosses the 50. He's going to be down to the Clay County 49-yard line. So a first down run for the Trailblazers. Thomas, as you mentioned, ton of athleticism on this Trailblazer team. Maybe not a good cohesive team at this point. They don't have any seniors, only freshmen through juniors in this school that's just phasing in. But I don't think it's going to take them long to become a force. So
good-looking run there. And that guy's not little.
No, he's not. We'll try to bring you his size in a few moments. First and 10, ball being snapped from the Clay County 49. This time a tackle for loss as they try to give off to the tailback, the Trailblazers do, but a tackle for loss being made. I think number 9 defensive end junior Hayden Cherry was in on that play. Going to bring you the defensive starting lineup brought to you by local agent Andrew Locke. Like a good neighbor, Andrew is there, offering you auto, life, home, health, and more. Starting at defensive end tonight is number 9, Hayden Cherry, accompanied by number 78, Joseph Jolin, both juniors. At nose guard, number 62, our freshman, Dalton Gove. At defensive tackle, a sophomore, Wesley Huff. At the other defensive tackle, 64, Eli Watson, a senior. And now here we go, second and 12, ball being snapped from the Trailblazer 48-yard line after that loss. Ball's on the ground, quarterback picks it up. He's looking to scramble to the right. He's going to be sacked. Trying to get a number here.
That's Cherry again.
Cherry again. Yes, it was. A quarterback sack for Cherry. Get into the linebackers and the defensive backs of the State Farm starting lineup now. Starting at corner tonight, number 24, Jared Markham, a junior, accompanied by fellow junior, number 20, Clark Donaldson. At safeties, B.J. Emerton and Seth Ogletree. And we have an inside linebacker tonight. Dylan Maxfield is sitting tonight with a shoulder injury from last week. Also, number 30, Will Ogletree, is sitting, our usual starting inside linebackers. So in their place, we have number 61, James Short, a senior, and he's accompanied by number 16, John Copeland, a freshman. They're taking a timeout on the field here in the first quarter. 4 minutes and 45 seconds remain. Clay County leads 6-0 on the Horizon Sports Network.
Besides offering local affordable housing here for over 30 years, Westmoreland Management and owner Bobby Westmoreland have been proud supporters of Clay County Athletics for decades. Not only have they offered area residents options when looking for a place to live with their Riverside and Cherry Tree apartment complexes, they've always shown their Bulldog pride. The owners and employees of Westmoreland Management are proud to sponsor Horizon Sports Network coverage of Clay County Bulldogs football this season. They encourage you to get behind the CCHS team and fill the stands at every game. Go Dogs!
Tri-County Electric encourages you to visit their website at www.tcemc.org, where you can manage your account, pay your bill, view our real-time outage management map, access Kentucky Living and the Tennessee Magazine, follow us on Facebook, and much more. Be sure to update your phone information to allow the outage management system to operate effectively and help you in the event of an outage. Good luck, Bulldogs, from Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
We're back on the Horizon Sports Network in the Twin Lakes broadcast booth. On 3rd and 15, that was another mishandled snap by the Trailblazer quarterback, and now it's 4th and 15, and they have their punt team on the field. Last time they tried to punt, they didn't even get a kick off because of the nasty weather. Let's see what happens this time, and no, once again, it's not going to happen. Several Bulldogs in. I see number 20, Clark Dawson, but I believe it was number 54, Wesley Huff, who was the first man to fall onto the Trailblazer punter for the Bulldogs. So once again, outstanding field position for Clay County as they're going to take over at the Trailblazer 37-yard line with 4 minutes and 11 seconds left in the first quarter. Clay County does lead 6-0. Here in a few moments, we'll try to bring you the rest of that State Farm starting lineup. We'll bring you the offensive starters for the Bulldogs. Ashok is going under center. Ball's being snapped on 1st and 10. He gives off to Margum around right side. Pretty good job by the Trailblazer defensive line that time. Not much running room for Margum as he went down. Perhaps lost a yard. We'll have to check the spot. It is being spotted at 37, so a run of no gain for Markham. Starting tonight at center for the Bulldogs is number 72, senior Joseph Short. At right guard, we'll be seeing, lost my spot, apologize. Number 64 at right tackle, Derek Beckner. At right guard, number 60, Eli Watson, a senior. Number at left guard, number 57, Alex Combs, a junior. And at left tackle, number 66, Zach Strong, as Clay County prepares for this 2nd and 10 play. Ashlock under center, ball snap, fake to Markham, give to Ogletree. And he has a lot of room. He has a first down yardage and stays on his feet. He's all the way down to the Trailblazer 27-yard line. Nice pickup. Should be a first. Should be a gain of 10 and a first down. We'll see if they move the sticks or if they rule the play to be a little bit short. It was a first down, so ball being spotted at the Trailblazer 27-yard line with a new set of downs for Clay County. We'll bring you the rest of that starting lineup now. The quarterback is number 1, Jake Ashlock, a sophomore. Tonight playing fullback is a senior, Seth Mackey, number 4. At right wing is Seth Ogletree. At left wing, Jared Markham. And it's split in B.J. Emerson and tight end Hayden Cherry. On 1st and 10 from the Trailblazer 27-yard line, the ball was snapped and given to Markham. He's going to pick up 2 on the play to take it down to the Trailblazer 25-yard line. 2nd and 8 for the Bulldogs with 2 minutes and 50 seconds remaining in this first quarter. Clay County does lead 6-0.
The play before that, Ogletree showed that burst again. If it wasn't for the long arm of that last Republic defender, he's in the end zone.
The starting lineups were brought to you by local agent Andrew Locke. Like a good neighbor, Andrew is there, offering you auto, life, home, health, and more. 2nd and 8 for Clay County. Head coach Matt Bates has sent the play in. Ashlock now under center. Double wing set. Markham in motion from left to right. Ball snap looking to pass. Ashlock goes downfield. He's targeting number 21, B.J. Emerton. And that ball is incomplete. Good coverage by the defensive backs of the Trailblazers. He was targeting Emerton all the way down the 5-yard line. Would have been a first down and more, but it was not to be so. 3rd and 8 for Clay County. Ashlock showing pretty good control of the football in these wet conditions. That was a 25-yard pass downfield. Pretty good accuracy.
I'm going to have to shake his hand because apparently he's got some good-sized mitts if he can hold on to the ball tonight.
It's very wet tonight. Now Ashlock trotting back out to the huddle. We'll be preparing for 3rd and 8 here in the first quarter. That clock has been stopped at 2 minutes and 11 seconds with an incomplete pass. Bulldogs approach the line. Ashdock going under center. Same double wing set we've seen all night. Emerton split left. Markham in motion to the right. Toss sweep to him. No halfback pass this time. He's all run. He gets up to the 25-yard line. Going to lose on the play. Going to set up fourth down, but it is four down territory for the Bulldogs. Ball spotted on the Trailblazer 25-yard line.
Don't see that much, Markham being held for no gain or a loss.
Especially on a tall sweep, Markham possesses great speed. Usually can get to the edge, but this Trailblazer defense is pretty quick. Good lateral speed on their part, and they are a formidable team. There are several large linemen. As Thomas mentioned, the tailback for the Trailblazers is a very large young man. We have a roster with names, but no sizes, so we can only speculate as to the actual physical size of the Trailblazers. Fourth and eight. Ashlock in shotgun. He has a bag to his left hip. Ball snap. He's looking to pass under pressure. That pinky toe didn't allow him to get away, Thomas. There's a big quarterback snap, sack. Ball being spotted now at the Trailblazer 38-yard line. So also 13 on the play for Ashlock on the sack. Ashlock does have a broken pinky toe for the last 2 weeks at school. He's wore a protective boot on his foot. It was stepped on in practice by a fellow Bulldog, so that kind of has hampered Ashlock's running ability, which is usually pretty swift.
You could see it there too, Daniel. As he tried to take the corner, he started retreating. That's where the quarterback's going to have to learn to throw that ball away. You lost yardage there on the fourth down. Take a shot on a fourth down, so sling the thing. He may not have been able to within these conditions.
He may have been thinking of ball security. So the Trailblazers will take over at their own 38-yard line, a long field of drive for them, but it is first and 10. Their quarterback approaches line. He's going to go under center, a fullback and a tailback in the eye behind him, tied in right with a flanker and a split into the left. Ball snapped once again on the ground, but the Trailblazers recover. It's like a broken record here with 50 seconds remaining in the first quarter. Every time the Trailblazers have snapped the ball goes on the ground. Quarterback picks it up, maintains possession, but every play is becoming a busted play for the Trailblazers.
Kind of see, I know the conditions are probably causing a lot of it, but they are a first-year varsity program, and in the film I watched, they're still learning how to play the game.
We see number 65, Cole Pinion, coming on to give number 60, Eli Watson, some rest at defensive tackle. We have 18 seconds left in the first quarter. Republic now second and 15. Ball going to be snapped from the 33-yard line. Quarterback under center, but whistle blows before the ball is snapped. Possibly a delay of game on Republic High School. We'll have to wait for the call. Rain continues to fall here on John Teeples Field. False start is the call against the Trailblazers. That's going to back them up into a second and 20. Ball now spotted on the Trailblazer 27-yard line. 8 seconds remain in the first quarter.
As I peer out of the window here at the Twin Lakes broadcast booth, there's quite a few more people here than I thought. They're huddled under umbrellas. We see a pop-up tent down to our left in front of us. So people are out here braving the elements for the Bulldogs.
There's a good crowd here. The Bulldog faithful have come out. We hope a lot of folks are listening on the Horizon Sports Network. And now second and 20, ball's going to be snapped. Trailblazer quarterback goes under center. A running back behind him, two split to the left, one to the right. He's looking to pass. Clean snap that time, ball thrown in there. And then he's been caught. He's behind the Bulldog defender. Now he's at the 30, the 25, the 20, the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown Trailblazers as the horn sounds to end the first quarter. Defensive back Clark Donaldson, it was a high thrown ball. Clark stopped to make a play on it, but it was out jumped by the Republic High School receiver, and they've got six on the board. Tie ball game now with no time on the first quarter. We'll have to see if Republic is an extra point kicking team or a two-point conversion team.
That's that athleticism we were worried about, Daniel. He and he kind of used a little trick I used to use in basketball. Wasn't much of a player, but he had those hands on the hips and kind of held Donaldson down there, went up and caught the ball at the top, and then took it to the house.
Could have been offensive pass interference, pretty subtle move, but enough that could have drawn the flag. Looks like that Republic is going to be a two-point conversion team rather than extra point. No, I'm mistaken. Here they drop down. There's a holder in position. Long snapper. Soccer-style approach for the kicker. Snap. Set. Ball being mishandled now, and he's going to be brought down. That holder picked the ball up on a bad snap. tried to run around right side, but number 61, James Short, no, number 7, Seth Ogletree, my mistake, was there to stop that. So at the end of the first quarter, we have a tie ball game here at Clay County High School. Republic Trailblazers 6, Clay County Bulldogs 6.
Getting interesting.
Tired of running around, trying to find everything you need for a project, or traveling out of town to a big box store? If so, go to the Getting Place, Salina Lumber Company, where if you need it, they've got it right here at home. For all things home improvement, Salina Lumber has been the place for over a half century. They offer all the conveniences of a big box store, but with a small town feel. Stop by today, call them at 931-243-3315, or follow them on Facebook. Salina Lumber Company, the Getting Place, proud supporters of Clay County football.
Back to school season is upon us, so start the school year off right by building the perfect entertainment package for your family, all while saving money. Choose Twin Lakes Broadband, HDTV, quality home phone, and security monitoring, and you've got the perfect package to keep everyone connected, laughing, and safe at night. To learn more or to bundle and save, stop by any of our 7 local offices today or visit us online at twlakes.coop. Key insert number C-0026.
We return here on the Horizon Sports Network. We're in the Twin Lakes broadcast booth, set for the kickoff of the second quarter. And literally, the Trailblazers are on the field prepared to kick off because they finished the first quarter with a long 73-play touchdown pass. So it's 6-6 here at the start of the second quarter at John Teeples Field.
That was just a jump ball, Daniel. 73-yarder is what it was, started on this end of the field. The quarterback just threw it up there.
Oh, hold on, we see, it was not an onside attempt, but a short pooch kick. One of the front linemen for Clay County attempted to recover that kick. I'm not sure which Bulldog it was, but the ball bounced off his chest, went on the ground, and was recovered by the Republic High School Trailblazers. So Trailblazers take possession of the football at the Clay County 47-yard line, so a short field and a lot of momentum for the Trailblazers here early in this second quarter.
I apologize to our listeners. I was trying to talk about that push-off on the touchdown catch, but huge momentum swing. They get in the end zone, and now they got the ball back with a short field.
Trailblazers do maintain possession there. Big play for them. Kind of a free possession here, as Clay County would have had the ball had we been able to cleanly field that kickoff. So here we go. Trailblazers come out. Number 11, Trey Lane, the quarterback for them. I'm not sure what class he is. They do not have seniors, as we mentioned, only freshmen through juniors. Lane under center. He gets a snap. Toss sweep to the left. We have good penetration, though. But, however, that running back evades. And number 7, Seth Ogletree, comes up from his safety position to make the tackle. Running back moves the ball down to the 42-yard line. So a pretty substantial pickup. Looks like a 5 for the Trailblazers on the play. That is number 20. Well, that's number 28, Jaden Tucker, the running back, the carrier on the play.
No knock against our current linebackers, but it seems like we may be missing Maxfield in the middle.
We are, and Will Ogletree as well. Both have played outstanding in the first two games of this season. Trailblazers now bobbling snap from the Bulldog 42. Second and 5, quarterbacks under center. Have whistles on the field. I think a false start by the Trailblazers. Hopefully I'm correct.
That running back you were talking about, he's kind of like a bowling ball. And when he gets rolling, he's hard to stop.
The call was against the Trailblazers. And yes, Thomas, he's very short, very thick, quick guy, a low center of gravity. Definitely have to tackle him low. Can't go in high because he'll just bowl over a Bulldog defender if he has a chance. But now with that penalty, it's back from the a second 5 to second 10 for the Trailblazers. So a bit of a nice break for the Bulldogs here as the ball's now spotted on the Clay County 47-yard line. Trailblazers in the huddle. They break and approach the line. They stay with their pro set. That would be a fullback and tailback, a tight end, and 2 split outs. Quarterback under center, Trey Lane, waiting to receive the snap. He gives his call. He fakes to the fullback, gives to the tailback off left side. He has a lot of room. He's going to pick up first down yardage and more as he barrels his way down to the 31-yard line. First down run by number 28. I believe that is 28, Jaden Tucker for the Trailblazers.
Republic's kind of coming into their own. This may be the first success they've felt as a varsity program in their history, Daniel.
And here we go. First and 10 with 10 minutes and 50 seconds left in this second quarter clock. It is a tie game, 6-6. Trailblazers snapping on a new set of downs. Quarterback Lane is going to come under center. Fullback and tailback behind him. Flanker to the right, split into the left. He has a long cadence at the line. Ball snapped. It's on the ground. He picks it up once again. Runs a quarterback sneak out of it and picks up yardage. Gets down to the 30. So pick up of one to set up second 9 for the Trailblazers. Thomas, we're fortunate at this point in time that the Trailblazers are having difficulty receiving a clean snap.
We are, Daniel. They've got it rolling pretty good. Again, we talk about their athleticism, not just speed. They've got some good moves even on this wet field and took advantage of kind of a soft front from the Dawgs so far.
Both teams playing slow tonight, and we find ourselves kind of pausing and trying to fill the dead space. They're letting that clock run. There's 9 minutes and 32 seconds remaining. Both teams primarily have kept the ball on the ground. However, Clay County has went to the air on several attempts. Quarterback Jake Ashok throwing the ball pretty well, but to no avail, pretty good coverage so far. So quarterback Trey Lane comes under center, 2 wide outs to the left, 1 to the right, a single back this time. Second and 8 play, long cadence, and there's another flag. Could be a delay of game against the Trailblazers. Yes, a delay of game against the Trailblazers, so they shoot themselves in the foot and turn a second and 8 into a second and 13 after that 5-yard penalty. Once again, the Trailblazers have kind of been their own worst enemy.
They have, and we're fortunate, like you said. The Bulldogs are going to have to wake up here, or they're going to hit another one on us real quick, and we don't need that right now, especially when touchdowns or at a minimum in a game like this.
Well, they are, as you mentioned, number 50, Dylan Maxfield, number 30, Will Ogletree on the sideline. They're not currently in this game. Usually our two highest tacklers in each contest. Quarterback Trey Lane under center now. Motion from right to left from a wideout. It is going to be fake to him. A speed sweep attempt. Quarterback goes up the gut anyway. He's going to pick up around 4 yards as he was tackled by number 9, Hayden Cherry. Cherry with several tackles on the night. Quarterback sack, I know as well. But a big chunk of that 5 yards, the Trailblazers just lost on penalty. They pick back up with that play. Ball's being spotted on the 31-yard line for now 3rd and 10. Pick up a 3 on the play by Trey Lane, the quarterback.
He's been impressive. I mean, he shows his athletic ability. Again, he's bobbled a snap about every time, able to pick it up and get something out of it. That shows how athletic the kid is.
We both know that the first step to a clean play is getting a smooth transition from center to quarterback. So, yes, quite impressive that he has the presence of mind to keep it going. Now we have a one-back set, and flags on the field again. So far, most of it's been against the Trailblazers. Once again, it is a delay of game. Trailblazers trying to slow the clock down and run it here. There's 8 minutes and 16 seconds left. But twice now on this drive, they have another delay of game penalty. I believe 5 penalties, Coach Edwards says, for 25 yards against the Trailblazers at this point in time.
I think that goes back to first-year team. They're still learning how to play football. And if it wasn't for that, we would see some pretty good success on this drive because the snaps they've gotten and the plays they've gotten off without a penalty have been positive plays.
They certainly have. 3rd and 14 now for the Trailblazers as Trey Lane moves into the shotgun formation. Pistol set with a running back on his left hip, offset fullback. I believe Clay County this time going to be caught on a penalty, perhaps number 62. Go? No, I'm wrong. He was drawn off sides by the offensive line for Republic High School, so back him up 5 more, 6 penalties now for 30 yards against Republic. They do maintain possession. Going to be 2nd and very long. A timeout has been called on the field by Republic after those 2 botched penalties. They need a chance to talk to their coach, so we'll go and share a word from our sponsors at this time.
Have you bought a new farm that needs work or just have an area you want cleaned up on your current property? If so, give Tennessee Land Management a call for a bid on clearing that wooded or overgrown area and add value to your farm. Offering dozer work, excavating, mulching, and even automatic watering systems and waterline installation, Tennessee Land Management is your local source for all things concerning property improvement. Give owner Mitch Gray a call today, 615-866-8426. Tennessee Land Management is a proud supporter of Clay County Athletics, encouraging you to show your Bulldog pride.
We return here on the Horizon Sports Network. We're going to go to producer Rob Edwards for a Budget Pest Control scoreboard update.
A few scores of interest, guys. Region 4A showdown, Monterey 7, Joe Burns 0 in the second quarter. Cookeville 14, Warren County 0 in the first quarter. South Pitt 26, Sail Creek 0 first quarter. Doesn't look like Sail Creek's going to get that first victory tonight.
It does not.
Scoreboard update brought to you by Budget Pest Control. No rat too big, no mouse too small. Budget Pest Control kills them all.
And on third down, incomplete pass now by the Trailblazer quarterback, Trey Lane. He was targeting a wide receiver out to the left. I believe that was number 10, Simeon Garcia, but could not hook up on that play. So fourth down and long for the Trailblazers. They probably will go for it, though. Thomas is the ball's position at the Clay County 42-yard line, but it is fourth and 20. We'll have to see what the Trailblazers and their head coach decide to do.
I haven't kept up with them. I know Rob has, but that's got to be at least eight plays that's moved back and forth between the 50 and 40-yard line. And John Teeble's field is holding up pretty good in this weather.
This field drains very well. Head coach Matt Bates has done a good job with the care of the field. It is in good shape, even though the junior high played in one here two nights ago, last night. Toss sweep to the left on fourth down for the Trailblazers. The running back hurdles. One Clay County defender picks up about 9 on the play, but it was fourth and 20. So the ball's going to be spotted at the Clay County 35-yard line, and Clay County will take back over at the 7:43 mark of the second quarter. This is a tie ball game knotted up at 6 between the Bulldogs and the Blazers. Sophomore quarterback Jake Ashcott going to come back out and try to get things going on this drive.
Plenty of time here before the half. We've been pretty simple with our play calls. Coach Bates may take a shot here. He surprised me throughout the season already, and already done it tonight in these conditions.
First down now, they would have the opportunity for a good, clean, dry football, so it may be a time for that. We have a Wildcat set, and that was Markham lines up at shotgun quarterback, takes the direct snap, runs around right side. A substantial pickup for him on this play. Well, as the Seward spotted, now the ball has been moved to the Clay County 43-yard line. That will set up second and short for Clay County after that Markham run. First time we've seen the Wildcat set out of the Bulldogs. We use that term Wildcat to describe when a skilled player other than the quarterback will line up in a quarterback in a shotgun formation. A lot of times just directly run the ball from there. Once again, we see Wildcat set. There's three wide receivers. Markham takes the ball. He's off right side. Going to be close to first down yardage. Ball is spotted now on the 45-yard line, right at the first down marker. We do see a signal. I believe we will have a first down for Clay County. 6 minutes and 59 seconds left in this second quarter. Yeah, so they do signal first down. I thought so. Had a good look at that play. So we'll see if Coach Bates continues with Markham here in this Wildcat set. And we do. We remain in it. Two wide receivers to the left, one to the right. Jacoby with motion, front left. Markham takes Greg's snap. He's going to be hitting the backfield, but shakes the defender. He's now to the 50-yard line. Fire pickup for Markham on the first and 10 play. Ball's going to be spotted directly on the 50-yard line. Markham in the feature back each play on this drive with the carry off of a direct snap. Second and 5 for the Bulldogs. We'll give him a pickup of 5 on the play. I like this look.
I do. We talked about getting simple. This is as simple as you can get, and who better to put it in the hands of?
Markham now once again lined up in the shotgun formation behind number 72, Joseph Short. Greg stepped to him. He goes around the right side looking for the corner. He gets the corner, and now he's up to the 47-yard line. Pick up a 3 for Markham to set up 3rd and 2. Good methodic pace here, picking up a 3, 5, 2 for Markham and the Bulldogs. 5 minutes and 57 seconds.
Nice block by the senior Jacoby. He kind of sealed that corner for Markham to make it 3rd and short.
Clay County now in a 3rd and short, 3rd and 2 situation. 5 minutes and 45 seconds remain in the first half of play. 6-6 ball game here at Clay County High School. Clay County stays in the Wildcat set. However, they got a little too tricky that time. Miscommunication between Markham, who's playing quarterback, you could say right now, for Clay County in the center. I think he called for the snap, but the snap never came. So false start, several of those Clay County offensive linemen went ahead and began the play. I believe the center that time just forgot to snap it. 5-yard penalty, 48-yard line, back on the Clay County side of the field, 3rd and 8.
First kind of mental mistake we've seen tonight. There were a lot early on in that Red Bulling game. Looks like they've corrected those.
Ball at the Clay County 48-yard line. We'll stay in the Wildcat set. No Ashlock now back at quarterback. I apologize. Not in the Wildcat anymore, but we do have 4 wide receivers, 2 deep side ball snap. Ashlock hooking the pass. He has a man. It's nearly intercepted.
He pushed him down.
And, well, Thomas, he did. He was targeting number 24, Jared Markham, on a seam route that would have been good enough for the first down, but a Trailblazer defender just kind of shoved Markham to the ground. I suppose the officials felt like physical contact came after the point that Markham could have caught the ball, so no penalty flags fly. 4th down for Clay County, and they are running the punting team onto the field with 5 minutes and 15 seconds remaining.
It's the second time tonight we've seen a push-off. I guess they're giving them the benefit of the doubt in this sloppy weather.
I suppose so. With the footing, I could see a situation where a player reached out to grab somebody else, maybe to support themselves. So we'll see if we can get a good punt here. Clay County, number 78, will be punting. That's Joseph Jones, fake punt. It's snapping up. Back against number 24, Jared Markham. He's at the 40, now the 35, down to the 30, all the way down to the 25-yard line. So a bit of trickery by Coach Bates. They tried the same play back against Jackson County in week 1, and it failed. That was using number 25, or not number 25, but number 5, Gabe Henson. This time he puts 24, Markham, at the back spot in a big play that flips the field for Clay County on 4th and 8 to pick up 1st down. Ball is spotted at the Trailblazer 25-yard line. Trailblazers using their speed to stop Markham. If not, that would have been a touchdown.
It would be, Daniel. Again, I like the gamble.
Ashlock under center, ball being snapped. Ogletree motion right left. He gets it, goes up center behind number 72, Joseph Short. A good game by him. Pick up a 5 as the ball's now going to be spotted at the 20-yard line. Big number 96. For the Trailblazers, I don't have his name on here. Maybe that was number 98, Bryce Edwards, a very large young man. No, that was 95. I'm sorry, Christian Allison. Christian Allison for the Trailblazers, a very good-looking defensive lineman here. I wish we had his numbers, as this is a 6-6 ball game. 4 minutes and 27 seconds remain. 2nd and 5, Ashlock comes under center. Maggie's playing fullback tonight for number 30, Ogletree, who's out. Ogletree in motion again. That Seth Ogletree, he's given to him. He's got room, 15, 10. He's down to the 10-yard line. So 1st down pickup for Seth Ogletree as he continues along with Markham to have an outstanding rushing attack for Clay County through these first 2.5 games of this year.
He looks good. But I tell you who made that play, the senior you just mentioned at fullback. He kicked out on that end coming up, and Ogletree cut right off his rear end and picked up the yardage.
So Mackey becoming a lead blocker, kind of utility man, doing whatever he needs to for this Clay County Bulldog team. Clay County threatening to score here. Ball being snapped on the, we'll call it the 11-yard line because it's not 1st and goal yet. 1st and 10 from the 11. Ashlock hooking the pass. He's targeting. There's got to be interference on that one. But they, once again, don't see the flag come out. I hate to be biased, ladies and gentlemen, but I did see a whole lot of physical contact between defensive back and receiver.
Well, if they hadn't thrown all those against Republic earlier, I'd accuse them of not wanting them to get muddy. But that's 3 times.
So 2nd and 10 after the incomplete pass. 4 down territory. Coach Bates trying to get to the end zone, taking a shot on 1st down. He's still got 3 plays to pick up 11 yards for a score. Number 1, Jake Ashlock, trots back out. Several incomplete passes tonight, but ladies and gentlemen, as I'm sure it is at your house, as you're listening, if you're in the Middle Tennessee area, very nasty conditions tonight. Ashlock under center, 2nd and 10, ball snap. It's going to be given to number 7, Ogletree. He cuts right up, number 72. Joseph Short, the center behind him. Flag on the field as Ogletree's tackled. The carry took the ball down to the 6-yard line, a pickup of 5 for Ogletree, but we'll have to see what the penalty is. I wish we had mics on these officials, the way they do in college and in NFL, and kind of hear them talking.
Face mask.
Face mask. Producer Rob Edwards has stepped out of the Twin Lakes broadcast booth for a better view, and it is a face mask going to be stepped off against Republic High School Trailblazers, moving the ball down to the 3-yard line. So Clay County now knocking on the door, second and four from the Republic 3. Second and 3 from the 3.
I assume Ogletree keeps those 5 yards of gain plus the penalty?
I don't think the penalty yardage would go on to his stats, but yes, he would get his gain and then the half distance, the goal penalty after that. Ashlock under center, ball spotted at the 3. It's given to Mackey. He's rumbling, stumbling. His lane to the end zone. First rushing touchdown of the year for Seth Mackey. Touchdown Clay County. New score, Clay County 12. Republic High School 6 with 2 minutes and 54 seconds remaining. Mackey looked like a fullback on that play. Not no quarterback.
He did. That was the second time. He got the lead block earlier to kind of get it into scoring position. Ogletree got us down there. It's good to see the senior make an impact here for this team and get in the end zone.
Well, the Ogletree, the sophomore, the usual starter fullback, is out. He's had sickness this week. Mackey doing a good job filling in for him as Mackey once again gets the ball on the 2-point conversion, and he's going to bail that thing in. Mackey just, he's got a bigger frame than Ogletree does, and he's putting it to use here. So with a 2-point conversion, we have a score of 14 for Clay County, 6 for Republic. There's 2 minutes and 54 seconds remaining in the second quarter. You're listening to Bulldog Football on the Horizon Sports Network.
You're listening to the David Benjamin TV Phone and Internet Pregame Show here on the Horizon Sports Network.
For the better part of a century, one local business has been there for the people of Clay County when they need it most. Upton Hay Funeral Home of Salina has been helping families and friends honor their loved ones since 1949. Many things have changed over the years, but one thing that has not changed is their continuing commitment of service to the families in Clay and surrounding counties. Upton Hay Funeral Home and its owners, Jimmy Hay and Rob and Monica Weir, are proud supporters of the Clay County Bulldogs and Cheerleaders.
Welcome back to Horizon Sports Network with a budget pest control scoreboard update. Gordonsville 14, Red Bull and Springs 6 in second quarter. Livingston 21, Cumberland County 0, also second quarter. Westmoreland 7, Jackson County 0. Smith County 7, Upperman 0. Trousdale County 12, Watertown 0, also in the second quarter. Scoreboard update brought to you by Budget Pest Control, the Bug Thugs.
We've just seen an onside kick attempt by number 5, Gabe Hanson, a junior for Clay County. It was recovered by the Trailblazers of Republic High School. It's spotted now. Republic will take over at their own 44-yard line with 2 minutes and 50 seconds remaining in this second quarter. Clay County does lead 14-6 after senior fullback Seth Mackey. Often we've said quarterback Seth Mackey, but this year he's made the transition to a backup player at quarterback and at fullback and pretty much anywhere that Coach Bates needs him. And he put that second score in for Clay County.
We kind of go back to the Bulldog defense in a way. They stopped them, held them to the turnover on downs. We went 12 plays in about 5 minutes, and Mackey stuck it in, and we're back on top.
Quarterback Trey Lane under center for Republic High School. 2 wide receivers to the left. They're trying to reverse. It was a toss sweep to the tailback. Looked like they wanted to reverse it, but there was confusion between the wide receiver and the tailback as the receiver, the slot position on the left side, came back towards the toss sweep like he was going to be handed off a reverse, but it did not develop. Holding was called on the play against Republic High School, however. I don't know if Clay County will accept that penalty. It'll make it 1st and 20, but it would have been 2nd and 15 if they let the play stand. I would have declined myself. We'll have to see what happens here. Penalty has been accepted, so 1st and 20 for the Trailblazers. Perhaps I was wrong. Maybe it wouldn't have been 2nd and 15, but I believe it was a big loss on the play had we declined the penalty. Number 16, John Copeland's coming off the field from inside linebacker at this point in time. I believe the Bulldogs have inserted number 5, Gabe Henson, the junior, to that inside linebacker spot to give Copeland relief. Trey Lane under center at quarterback for Republic. Ball being snapped. There's 2 receivers to the left. It's a toss sweep left again. Ball's on the ground. And it's still loose. Clay County is maybe will come over here. It's still loose. It's been picked up. Picked by Clay County. It was juggled around two or three times, and I can't talk right now amidst the excitement. But
that's Huff.
54 Huff? What number did you see?
64 Huff.
60, that's Derek Beckner.
Okay,
64,
I'm sorry.
That is 54 Huff.
54.
Yes. Number 54, Wesley Huff, a sophomore, stayed with that play. I had trouble giving that call because Republic had possession two to three times during the scrum for the ball, and it kept popping out of there on this slick field tonight. But
you had trouble
take
calling, and I had trouble seeing it. I didn't know where the ball was. It was squirting around everywhere.
Ball spotted at the Republic 9-yard line, so Clay County takes over with 2 minutes and 9 seconds remaining in the second quarter, and a great opportunity here to go up another score. Currently, the score is 14-6 in favor of Clay County. Ashlock goes under center. Ogletree's in motion from right to left. Ball's given to him. He's got some room around left side. He's wrestling. 5-yard line. 4-3-2-1. Touchdown. Seth Ogletree. Touchdown, Clay County. And a new score with 1 minute and 58 seconds remaining here. Penalty flag on the field, though, however. We'll have holding call. Touchdown will not stand. Holding call against Clay County. That's going to back him up. Seth will not be recorded with that touchdown. Score remains 14-6. I've no doubt Republic will accept that penalty. If not, they will give us points.
I missed the hold. I was too busy watching Ogletree. What a nice run. He got out to the corner and then showed the vision I talked about a little bit last week, cut it back, broke a tackle, got in the end zone, but all for naught.
I believe an additional penalty flag was thrown during the middle of the referee's discussion. I'm not sure. Perhaps a personal foul against Clay County here. We'll have to see. Yes, I think that's an unsportsmanlike signal. I'm not sure, but Clay County going to be backed up more than the initial 10 yards that the holding penalty
possibly
gained them.
Some frustration. Again, such a nice play to have negated, and Clay County's moving backwards.
It's first and goal still, but we're not close to the goal line anymore. First and goal, ball being spotted at the Trailblazer 32-yard line, so 32 yards away from pay dirt for the Bulldogs, but they have four plays.
I don't know if I've ever heard that down and distance before.
First and goal from the 32. It was unsportsmanlike conduct being called. I hate to know that one of our Bulldog players was engaged in something that would get us a 15-yard penalty there, but certainly it was the case. Ashlock goes under center, double wing set. Mackey still at fullback. He scored the last touchdown for the Dogs. Mark him in motion, left to right. It's back to him, giving to Ogletree underneath. Good gain by him. He's down to the 24-yard line. Close to first down. Well, if it was first and 10, it would have been close to first down, but it's first and goal from the 32. So now it's going to be second goal from the 24-yard line.
Can you tell me about that play? That's some of that deception. It looks like he faked the three different guys before giving them to Ogletree on the counter.
They kind of fake the handoff to Markham, which they run a lot, and then spin around. You might call it a crisscross reverse, but Ashnot keeps possession of the ball the whole time, so it's really not a reverse. It's a counter play is what it is, Thomas. Now, Markham runs the same play the other way. Ogletree, the one from Ashnot, that received the initial fake. Then it was given to Markham as he moved the ball from the 24-yard line down to the 18. So a pickup for him on that play of around 7 yards. So third and goal from the 18. A little counter play. If we watched, we'd probably see the guards or at least the tackle pulling and kicking out the defensive end on one side. A little bit of a deceptive play that many teams run. But when you run it out of that wing T set, it looks very interesting out of that particular formation. Third and goal from the 18-yard line. Ashlock going under center. Ogletree's in motion from right to left. Fake to him. It's rolled out. Passes out. He has Mackey, but he targets number 21, no, number 9, Hayden Cherry. Pass is going to be incomplete. So fourth and goal from the 18-yard line for Clay County. There's 35.2 seconds remaining in the second quarter. Clay County does lead 14-6. There's a timeout on the field. We're going to take timeout here on the Horizon Sports Network.
Fishing and boating at Del Hall Lake are some of the best you'll find anywhere. Clay County Chamber of Commerce invites local folks and out-of-town visitors to make plans now for a trip to Del Hall Lake. Not only is the lake home to the world record smallmouth bass, but it's one of the best houseboating lakes in the nation. For more details, you can contact the local chamber at 931-243-3338 or visit delhallalake.org.
Clay County Farm Supply is not only your local one-stop shop for all things farm-related, but they also carry a full line of Pro Hardware brand products, building supplies, and much more. Owners Randy and Charlotte Copeland make sure their business is the community's leader in farm products and feed while offering a wide array of home improvement building supplies. Why go anywhere else? Stop in today or give them a call at 931-243-4169. Their entire staff wishes the Dogs best of luck this football season. We're back here on the Horizon Sports Network. The ball's being snapped. Fourth and goal with 18. Ashlock rolling left, looks to pass.
That's
a man. It's 21 Emerson. It was a good-looking play from here, but it is incomplete. As Clay County will turn the ball over on downs. First and goal from the 9, ended up first and goal from the 32, and we could not convert after the holding penalty and the personal foul that was assessed. We did have a Seth Ogletree touchdown that was called back. We'd like to be up right now 20-6, but it remains 14-6 with 28 seconds remaining here in the first half of play.
I thought they had a chance on that. Ashlock, I'm not sure if he got flushed out of the pocket or just rolled out, but Emerton had the flag on. It just got to put a little air under that and get it to the pylon, and I think Emerton runs under it.
Republic High School quarterback Trey Lane goes under center for first and 10 play. Ball being snapped from the 18-yard line up their end of the field. They're moving left to right. It was given to fullback, actually tailback. That is number 28, Jaden Tucker, who's carried most of the load for Republic on the ground. Early on in this contest, the Republic quarterback had trouble getting the ball snapped from center. They seemed to have smoothed that out, though, here in the second quarter, and had managed to put points on the board with a huge pass. And now the clock is going to run down to halftime here. The buzzer sounds. Here at John Teeples Field, the Clay County Bulldogs lead the Republic High School Trailblazers with a score of 14-6. We're going to play some ads, come back here on the Horizon Sports Network, and give you some statistical updates and halftime information.
Have you bought a new farm that needs work or just have an area you want cleaned up on your current property? If so, give Tennessee Land Management a call for a bid on clearing that wooded or overgrown area and add value to your farm. Offering dozer work, excavating, mulching, and even automatic watering systems and waterline installation, Tennessee Land Management is your local source for all things concerning property improvement. Give owner Mitch Gray a call today, 615-866-8426. Tennessee Land Management is a proud supporter of Clay County Athletics, encouraging you to show your Bulldog pride.
For the better part of a century, one local business has been there for the people of Clay County when they need it most. Upton Hay Funeral Home of Salina has been helping families and friends honor their loved ones since 1949. Many things have changed over the years, but one thing that has not changed is their continuing commitment of service to the families in Clay and surrounding counties. Upton Hay Funeral Home and its owners, Jimmy Hay and Rob and Monica Weir, are proud supporters of the Clay County Bulldogs and Cheerleaders.
Did you know that with gig broadband speeds, that's 1,000 megabits per second, you can download a 2-hour movie in as little as 8 seconds? And what about downloading your top 100 summer playlist? Get your jam on in 3 seconds. Seriously, with gig broadband speeds from Twin Lakes, enjoy your favorite entertainment in just seconds. Sign up or upgrade your broadband package today. Visit one of our 7 local offices or visit us online at twlakes.coop. Not available in all areas.
Tired of running around, trying to find everything you need for a project, or traveling out of town to a big box store? If so, go to the Getting Place, Salina Lumber Company, where if you need it, they've got it right here at home. For all things home improvement, Salina Lumber has been the place for over a half century. They offer all the conveniences of a big box store, but with a small town feel. Stop by today, call them at 931-243-3315, or follow them on Facebook. Salina Lumber Company, the Getting Place, proud supporters of Clay County football.
Fishing and boating at Delhalla Lake are some of the best you'll find anywhere. Clay County Chamber of Commerce invites local folks and out-of-town visitors to make plans now for a trip to Delhalla Lake. Not only is the lake home to the world record smallmouth bass, but it's one of the best houseboating lakes in the nation. For more details, you can contact the local chamber at 931
243-3338 or visit delhollalake.org.
The wait is over. You have better things to do with your time other than wait, especially when it comes to accessing your personal funds. With Card at Once from Bank of Salina, our friendly staff now has the ability to distribute fully functioning, personalized debit cards on site. No more waiting days for a card and a PIN to be mailed to you. Open up an account today and walk out of our branch ready to use your money with your new debit card. Bank of Salina, serving thousands of customers one at a time. Equal housing member, member FDIC.
Tri-County Electric's outage management system has IVR, interactive voice response. Holding for an operator is still an option if you need to notify us or check on an outage, but you have access to the same information without waiting if we have your correct information. With your account number, you can update the information yourself by calling our number and pressing option 3 or visiting our website, www.tcemc.org. You may also call your local Tri-County Electric office to verify. Helping you obtain outage information without waiting is something we are proud to offer. Good luck, Bulldogs. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Clay County Farm Supply is not only your local one-stop shop for all things farm-related, but they also carry a full line of Pro Hardware brand products, building supplies, and much more. Owners Randy and Charlotte Copeland make sure their business is the community's leader in farm products and feed while offering a wide array of home improvement building supplies. Why go anywhere else? Stop in today or give them a call at 931-243-4169. Their entire staff wishes the Dogs best of luck this football season. Clay County Farm Supply, your one-stop shop for all things farm-related, plus so much more.
Besides offering local affordable housing here for over 30 years, Westmoreland Management and owner Bobby Westmoreland have been proud supporters of Clay County Athletics for decades. Not only have they offered area residents options when looking for a place to live with their Riverside and Cherry Tree apartment complexes, they've always shown their Bulldog pride. The owners and employees of Westmoreland Management are proud to sponsor Horizon Sports Network coverage of Clay County Bulldogs football this season. They encourage you to get behind the CTHS team and fill the stands at every game. Go Dogs!
This is Daniel Strong, the voice of the Bulldogs on the Horizon Sports Network, and I want to tell you about AC Wireless's U.S. Cellular MiFi hotspot. This small device powers our live stream broadcast of Bulldog football wherever we go, so I know it can give you all the high-speed Wi-Fi internet service you could possibly want. Go to AC Wireless in Salina today. Give them a call at 931-243-4545 or look them up on Facebook for all their latest smartphone deals and events. AC Wireless, your local U.S. Cellular dealer.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility, has been providing skilled nursing care and rehab services here in Salina for over 40 years. We serve Southern Kentucky and area Tennessee counties, including Clay, Jackson, Overton, and Macon. This is Activity Director Corey Barlow reminding you it is our goal for you and your loved one to receive quality, compassionate care by well-trained professionals who serve you from their heart. Give us a call at 931-243-3139 or visit us on the web at salinahealthandrehab.com. Good luck, Bulldogs, in your upcoming season from Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center.
We return here live on the Horizon Sports Network. We're streaming you from the Twin Lakes Broadcast Booth in Joe Neal East Stadium here at Clay County High School, where we see the Bulldogs are leading at halftime with a score of 14-6 over their Region 4 Single-A counterparts, the Republican High School Trailblazers. At this time, we'll go to producer Rob Edwards for an update on some of the offensive stats for Republic.
Well, as it's been the case the last couple of weeks, not a whole lot to report. Really, the most dominant force here tonight has been the weather, guys. You know, both teams look pretty sloppy at times, and Republic, by my stats here, they have 7 plays where they've recorded for negative yards. Most of those have come on bad snaps on punts and just regular bad snap plays. 15 runs for 25 yards. They're 1 of 3 in the air for that 73-yarder that went for a touchdown. And 8 penalties for 44 yards really hurt the Trailblazers tonight.
Certainly not a lot of production for them. As we mentioned several times, a lot of trouble, Coach. receiving snap from center to quarterback early on. They have straightened that out enough to score, and they're a contender here in this ball game. Thomas, what we got on Clay County?
Well, just starting with a scoring summary, about 6 minutes into the game, we go 7 plays, 25 yards. Markham caps it with a 3-yard touchdown to make it 6-0 after the missed two-point conversion. And then Coach talked about it. Republic hit us for a 73-yard pass in this weather. The rain continues to fall here. It's just like waves of it coming across the field. Somehow that ball got down there, and somehow, maybe aided by a little push, they got up there and caught it and took it to the end zone. That tied it up after a botched extra point, I think I remember, made it 6-6. And then 12 plays, and then a couple drives later, we went 12 plays, a good sustained drive that was extended by Coach Bates' gamble on the fake punt.
Yes, yes, paid off for him.
It did. Markham took it 27 yards, picked up the first down. Ogletree had a couple big runs, put us into scoring position. And then the senior, backup quarterback, fullback tonight, Seth Mackey, gets into the end zone, comes right back, puts the two-point conversion in. 3 minutes before the half, we go up 14-6. And then another thing, we had another chance just a second ago.
We did.
Right before the half, what was it, the play call you made, first and goal from the 32?
First and goal from the 32.
You know, we're in scoring position, ready to go in. Maybe kind of.
Did go in.
That's right. Seth
Ogletree carried the ball in for a Bulldog touchdown.
I forgot about that.
That was negated.
That's right. So Ogletree goes in for the score, maybe to kind of put this thing on ice early. And then we get the two penalties on one play. We had the 10-yard holding call, which negated the touchdown. And we didn't really see what happened. Don't know if somebody got upset or what, but had the 15-yard unsportsmanlike, killed that drive. So that accounts for three penalties for a total of 30 yards, but those were huge, leaving it at one-score ball game. I'll quickly go to individual statistics. On the ground, we rushed 21 times for 115 yards and 2 touchdowns through the air, kind of like Rob said with Republic, besides their touchdown. We're 1 from 5 for 6 yards. Emerton has that catch. Leading the rushing is Markham again, having another good night. I talked to Coach Bates before the game in our in the locker room segment, and he talked about Markham's ball security and how he's probably going to see a few carries. Well, he's seen 10 carries for 56 yards so far tonight.
Wow. 5.6 average, yeah.
A great average there. He's our leading rusher and has the first touchdown. Then you go to Seth Ogletree, also having another good night. He's got 6 carries for 41 yards. Again, the touchdown negated. And then Ashlock scrambled. We talked about the first play. May have been a design play. Maybe the second one. But he's got 2 carries for 9 yards. And then you talk about Mackey. He came in, he's got 3 carries for just 9 yards, but 2 of them were scoring plays. He got the touchdown and the 2-point conversion.
Identical plays.
On the defensive side, honestly, there hadn't been a whole lot of tackles to make. They put it on the ground how many times?
Several, and they have fallen on their own loose ball several times.
They
wouldn't attack their own loose plays.
Right, so don't have any big numbers there. Of course, our big number of guys aren't playing tonight when you got Dylan Maxfield, the senior, out, and Will Ogletree, who's been right behind him leading the way. They're out. But I do have the leader, one of their replacements, senior James Short. I got him with 3. I've got Cherry with 2 big stops from his end position. Seth Ogletree coming up making a couple stops. And then I got one for the freshman Dalton Goad. Wesley Huff has one. The senior, Eli Watson, won, and then the other freshman, John Copeland, picks up one.
So that's all the information that we have here from the first half of this contest. Round one, we called it, between the Bulldogs and the Blazers. They never have met before. Clay County does lead 14-6 here at halftime at John Teeples Field. We're going to go back, play a few more messages from our sponsors, then we'll return to you for the third quarter and second half kickoff.
Tri-County Electric and TVA are providing a clear path for you to make your home a 10, its most energy-efficient rating through the new eScore program. E-Score allows homeowners to work toward a score of 10 for their home at their own pace while earning rebates on qualified energy efficiency upgrades. For additional information and program details, please visit www.2escore.com or contact your local Tri-County Electric office. Good luck, Bulldogs, from Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Besides offering local affordable housing here for over 30 years, Westmoreland Management and owner Bobby Westmoreland have been proud supporters of Clay County Athletics for decades. Not only have they offered area residents options when looking for a place to live with their Riverside and Cherry Tree apartment complexes, they've always shown their Bulldog pride. The owners and employees of Westmoreland Management are proud to sponsor Horizon Sports Network coverage of Clay County Bulldogs football this season. They encourage you to get behind the CCHS team and fill the stands at every game. Go Dogs!
Whether you've been hurt in the game, just had surgery, or need wound care treatment, Cumberland River Outpatient Rehabilitation Center is here to help you get back to what you enjoy. The therapists at Cumberland River Outpatient Rehabilitation Center are committed to providing clinically superior, cost-effective therapy services for our community. No matter what age you are, we will get you back in the game. We are located at 100 Old Jefferson Street, Solana, Tennessee. Call 931-243-5250 for more information today. Getting you back in the game.
For the better part of a century, one local business has been there for the people of Clay County when they need it most. Upton Hay Funeral Home of Solana has been helping families and friends honor their loved ones since 1949. Many things have changed over the years, but one thing that has not changed is their continuing commitment of service to the families in Clay and surrounding counties. Upton Hay Funeral Home and its owners, Jimmy Hay and Rob and Monica Weir, are proud supporters of the Clay County Bulldogs and Cheerleaders.
Solana Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility, has been providing skilled nursing care and rehab services here in Solana for over 40 years. We serve Southern Kentucky and area Tennessee counties, including Clay, Jackson, Overton, and Macon. This is Activities Director Corey Barlow reminding you it is our goal for you and your loved one to receive quality, compassionate care by well-trained professionals who serve you from their heart. Give us a call at 931-243-3139 or visit us on the web at SolanaHealthAndRehab.com. Good luck, Bulldogs, in your upcoming season from Solana Health and Rehabilitation Center.
Have you bought a new farm that needs work or just have an area you want cleaned up on your current property? If so, give Tennessee Land Management a call for a bid on clearing that wooded or overgrown area and add value to your farm. Offering dozer work, excavating, mulching, and even automatic watering systems and water line installations, Tennessee Land Management is your local source for all things concerning property improvement. Give owner Mitch Gray a call today, 615-866-8426. Tennessee Land Management is a proud supporter of Clay County Athletics, encouraging you to show your Bulldog pride.
Fishing and boating at Delhalla Lake are some of the best you'll find anywhere. The Clay County Chamber of Commerce invites local folks and out-of-town visitors to make plans now for a trip to Delhalla Lake. Not only is the lake home to the world record smallmouth bass, but it's one of the best houseboating lakes in the nation. For more details, you can contact the local chamber at 931-243-3338 or visit delhallalake.org.
Tired of running around, trying to find everything you need for a project, or traveling out of town to a big box store? If so, go to the Getting Place, Solana Lumber Company, where if you need it, they've got it right here at home. For all things home improvement, Solana Lumber has been the place for over a half century. They offer all the conveniences of a big box store, but with a small town feel. Stop by today, call them at 931-243-3315, or follow them on Facebook. Solana Lumber Company, the Getting Place, proud supporters of Clay County football.
We're returning here to the Horizon Sports Network. We're preparing for second half action. It's 14-6 right now. Clay County has an advantage over Republic High School. And before the third quarter begins, let's go to producer Rob Edwards for a Budget Pest Control Scoreboard update.
Got several scores. They're all halftime scores, I believe. Region 4A action, Gordonsville 14, Red Bull and Springs 6.
Wow.
Monterey 7, Joe Burns 0 at the half. South Pitt 47, Sell Creek 0 at the half. That one can't go by fast enough, probably, if you're a Panther fan. Livingston Academy's up 33-0 on Cumberland County at the half. Cookeville 28, Warren County 0, Westmoreland 0, Jackson County 7 at the half. Smith County 14, Upperman 0, Trousdale County 20, and Watertown 0 at the half as well. Scoreboard update brought to you by Budget Pest Control. Spiders don't look as mean when Budget's on the scene, guys. I'm having trouble saying he's not laughing anymore.
Well, we appreciate that, Coach. I know several listeners enjoy the Budget Pest Control segment, and I surely do as well. As we prepare here for the kickoff, the start of the second half, there's 5 seconds remaining on the clock. It ticks down, and Republic takes the field to prepare for their kickoff team. Coach Bates has the Bulldogs held on the sideline, guys, and they're taking the field now with the return team. Number 21, B.J. Emerton, has been moved into the as a deep return man on the kick return team tonight. In the first 2 weeks, it was Markham. Along with McGee and Wesley Walker. But this week we see Emerton is the lone man deep, and up in front of him are Jacoby and Markham. So a more experienced crew than we've had before back there. Last time that Republic kicked off, it was an onside attempt that was recovered by the Trailblazers. So we'll see what happens here as Clay County attempts to cleanly receive this kick. This time it's a pooch kick to the right hash. It is falling on smartly by number 20, Clark Donaldson. So Bulldogs will take over at their own 35-yard line. 11 minutes and 56 seconds are on this third quarter clock. What are we looking for, Thomas?
Well, I think we've seen the big playability, the athleticism of Republic. We need a score here to kind of distance ourselves from that big play.
I agree. Momentum certainly went the Trailblazers' way during the second quarter. We need to reestablish that. Ashok now comes out first and 10, was preparing to go under center, but a quick whistle from the official stops play. I believe the Trailblazers football was still on the field, and the officials had to clear that out of the way. So
it could get confusing.
It could. So here we go. Ashok going under center, number 72, Joseph Short. Ogletree in motion at wing from right to left. It's fake to him, given to Mark, and he has room on the right side. Dodges one tackler, and it's a good run. Keeps his feet running, much like he did last week. Carries the ball down to the 40-yard line, so a pickup of 5 for Markham on first and 10 brings up now a second and 5. Good job by Markham. Mirror image of last week's performance.
It was. He's really turning those feet. I talked to him in the interview about it, about how he's changed his game, and you're seeing that tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, we did go on there at 6 o'clock tonight. If you missed any of that pregame show, you can go to www.hollahorizon.com to hear the rest of that in the archives link. And now Ashlock on second and 5 goes down right side in what was a designed quarterback run, almost a quarterback ISO. He had lead blockers out in front. He is going to pick up the first down. Ball going to be spotted at the 46-yard line. So first and 10, Clay County here early in this third quarter. They do lead 14-6 over the Republic High School Trailblazers. There's 11 minutes and 12 seconds remaining in the third quarter.
Again, Bates kind of keeping it simple. Watch for him to lull him to sleep, though. I think he goes to there here on this drive.
He may do it. And here Ashok comes. He's in shotgun this time. Pistol set almost at the design run off the left side. Same play, opposite side. He's going to get from the 46 down to the 49, so a pickup of 3 for Ashok on the first and 10 play to give a second and 7. The rain has fallen throughout this contest here in Salina, Tennessee. Not a heavy rain at any point in time, but a consistent drizzle. We documented in the Cumberland Exteriors weather report earlier in the pregame show that we had an inch and 7/10 in the last 48 hours here. Certainly a lot less than some of our neighbors to the west here in Middle Tennessee, but certainly enough to make it very sloppy here tonight. So ball spotted at the 49-yard line on Clay County's side of the field. They're traveling from right to left from our vantage point. Ashok again, direct snap. He was trying to get to the left side, but was brought down that time by big number 99, Marlon Martin, for the Republic High School Trailblazers. I wish we had a roster with sizes for these guys because not only do they possess a lot of athleticism, they're pretty big young men too. As we mentioned several times throughout the broadcast, Republic High School, a charter school in Nashville. They have around what now I hear is 500 students, but they only have freshmen through juniors, no seniors yet. When TWSAA did their reclassification last fall, they only had around, with 1.4 multiplier, around 340 kids. They've grown substantially in just the short year that it's been since those numbers were taken. Ashlock under center, ball snap, giving to Big Mackey. He crosses the 50-yard line down to the Trailblazer 49, a pickup of two on the play for Mackey that will set up fourth and five, fourth and a long four. Looks like fourth and five for Clay County. So Coach Bates doesn't hesitate. He sends the punting team onto the field. But last time the Clay County punting team was on the field, we saw a fake from Markham running around left side. This time, however, Gabe Henson, number five, is the up back, accompanied by Markham. Markham's still back there. We may see some trickery. Number 78, Joseph Jolin on the punt. Ball snap, hit the fake again. Markham with the direct snap. He does not get enough for the first down. However, this time, unless I'm mistaken, I hope that I am, but he does appear to be short. You know, around midfield, the ball's going to be spotted now as the Trailblazers take over possession at their own 45-yard line. So, not necessarily a bad play call or anything too risky for Coach Bates. To be honest, Joseph Jolin, a lineman, does a great job for the Bulldogs, but Coach Bates may not have trusted him to call a 12-yard long snap during this weather. Also, number 50, Dylan Maxfield, is our normal starting long snapper. It may be the Bulldogs have trouble finding a replacement for him on special teams.
Could be, Daniel. And that was basically just that wildcat formation. You did have Jolin back deep as a punter, but same thing we saw earlier.
Trailblazers take over. Quarterback Trey Lane goes under center. One back set, a tight end to the right along with the flanker. Also, two wide receivers to the left. He gives off to the lone back, and he's going to have a substantial gain of around 4 yards as the ball is going to be moved from Republic's 45-yard line up to their 49. So pick up a four on first down. Tackle was made that time, I believe, by number 9, Hayden Cherry. We have difficulty bringing all the tacklers. Clay County is doing a good job of gang tackling. There's always two or three guys in on the play.
Cherry's had a good game tonight, and I failed to mention over here in the other column, he had a sack in the first half.
He
did. Along with his two tackles.
Number 57, Combs, going in nose guard, the junior, to replace freshman Dalton Goat for a few plays. Trey Lane under center, brings the man in motion, ball's on the ground again as it has been a lot of the night, but that man's still going. He has room, and he is fast. He's down to the 40, now the 35, where he's brought down by number 9, Cherry, who may have saved the touchdown with that tackle. Once again, if that ball hadn't went on the ground, if the timing of the play had been smooth for the Trailblazers, who knows what would have happened. Ball went on the ground, quarterback picked it up, still got a first down with that bobbled snap play.
He's really athletic. Cherry somehow ran him down from behind. Just kind of had the angle on him is all I could see because that guy's fat.
He was. That was number 10, Simeon Garcia, on the carry for the play. Now the Trailblazers snapped the ball from the Clay County 36-yard line on first and 10. Trey Lane, the quarterback under center, eye formation
ball
behind him. Ball's on the ground again. However, quickly, the quick reaction from the fullback, that's number 21, Larry Gillespie, for the Trailblazers. They recovered the ball. I'm not saying that Clay County is doing a bad job defensively. However, as many times as that ball's been on the ground, I'm surprised we haven't come up with a recovered fumble.
You think we could get a hand on one of them, and that would be huge right now to kind of swing this momentum here just across into Bulldog territory. Let's see if we can get it on this snap.
Second 9 here, ball being snapped from the 35-yard line. Clay County's in the field, Trailblazers are driving left to right. Ball snapped, it went on the ground again, and I guess they heard us up here in the Twin Lakes broadcast booth, Thomas, because for the first time tonight, Clay County has come up with one of those loose footballs. Number 54, possibly Wesley Huff in on the recovery. I also see number 70 for the Bulldogs out there. Not familiar with that number. That's because we do not have a 70, so I was wrong. That wasn't number 70. 70-something.
But Clay County takes over. So here we are, 6 minutes and 46 seconds remain in the third quarter clock, and Clay County leads 14-6, and they're taking over possession of the ball at their own 34-yard line. They're going to travel from right to left here from our vantage point. Ashok under center, mark him in motion left to right. He's giving the ball. He's going off right side tackle. That's number 64, Derek Beckner. Not a lot of room to run that time. A minimal gain down to the 39-yard line for Markham on the play. Second and 6 for the Bulldogs coming up. Trailblazers, we've mentioned several times, they've got a lot of good attributes, a lot of good speed. Clay County's not been able to just run away from them on the field. They've done a good job of containing Ogletree and Markham as they've tried to run the ball tonight. However, we've got a ton of yardage on the ground as we continue to do so. Same play again. Markham comes in motion, gets the ball. He's going to be all the way out to the 50 and across the 50 as he carries it to the Trailblazer 49-yard line. So a huge gain on the play for Jared Markham. Thomas, what was that ball snap from? Do you have
the,
that?
The 39.
The 39, so 11 yards to the 50, and then another yard past that, so a 12-yard gain for Markham. Once again, running hard. I saw him put his hand on the ground to keep his balance. A lot of heart being shown by Jared Markham, the junior here tonight. Clay County now first and 10, ball on the Trailblazer 49. It snapped for the first time tonight. Ashok has to go down on the ground and recover a bad snap from center Joseph Short. We won't lay blame on either Bulldog for that. It's hard to know with these conditions which one may have been responsible for the snap. I definitely think that the ball boy for Clay County probably has one of the hardest jobs tonight, trying to keep those footballs dry.
I was thinking about that going in. Looks like it's big Wade Coons who scored a touchdown last night in their big 56-0 win over Red Bowling Springs. He's got his poncho on and working hard down there.
Hard-working young man is Wade. And now the ball's been snapped on 2nd and 11 for Clay County, and that ball in what was another counterplay. Jake Ashok turned a complete 360 circle in the backfield. Ball went on the ground. Republic has recovered. I believe that was big number 98 for them, Bryce Edwards, or number 95, Christian Allison. Hard to tell. Two very large defensive tackles in there for the Trailblazers on the defensive line. So here in the third quarter with 5 minutes and 11 seconds remaining, we still have a score of 14 for Clay County, 6 for Republic. A good opportunity for Republic here. They have the ball at their own 49-yard line. They're 51 yards away from tying this game up.
It's been a battle so far. We kind of expected that going in with Harvey winning tonight, the Hurricane that is. And here goes Republic.
Ball snapped. It's given to tailback number 28. He has a lot of room. He's already got 10. Now he's got 12 yards as he goes out of bounds. Ball's going to be spotted at the Clay County 40-yard line. So we'll call it a pickup of 11 for the number 28, the tailback Jaden Tucker for Republic High School. These guys are pretty good, Thomas. If this season progresses, they're going to be a tough opponent, not only next year, but in a few weeks.
Well, even just play to play, you can see their confidence build. You know, when he broke that run and kind of finished it off at the end, you can see him jump up. They're getting excited about what they're putting together.
The only experience many of them have was the 0-63 loss to Pearl Cone last week. Certainly that's not happening tonight against the Bulldogs. Ball being snapped now, 40-yard line, given off to tailback again. He has a lot of room, but his hard ball goes on the ground. I'm not sure who's going to come up with it. A massive fight for it. I see one of the safeties, I believe, for Clay County. That's either Ogletree or Emerson on the ground. And, yes, Clay County football, it has been recovered by the black and gold. So the sloppy weather and the sloppy play continues as both teams turn over the ball in a matter of moments here in the third quarter. There's 4 minutes and 25 seconds remaining, and Clay County will take over at what we're going to call the 34-yard line. On their end of the field, they'll be driving from right to left. I see the Russell Richardson doghouse off to our right here. We had a pregame show tonight that involved reading off of some statistical history of the Bulldogs on the offensive side of the ball. We didn't get through it far because me and Thomas enjoyed talking so much about these former Bulldog greats. We were supposed to cover about 14 areas. I think we covered 4. But tune in and listen to that. It'll be in the archives on the website at horizon.com. So on 1st and 10, Ashok goes under center. Ball is snapped. It's going to be given to Markham as he goes in motion from left to right. Another pretty good game for Markham. He's not lost many yards tonight. Everything's been positive. He carries the ball for a pickup of 5. It's going to be spotted now at the Clay County
37-yard line. As Ashlock and team break huddle, may have been a pickup of four with that yardage. Ashlock goes under center. This time Ogletree in motion. He gets the carry. Mackey out front blocking, does a great job on the edge. Mackey just throwing that defender. Very exciting. Ogletree picking up enough yards for first down. And I see a flag that's going to go against Republic, I believe, for the abuse of number 34, Camden Bowles, after the whistle blowed. If I'm not mistaken, this should be against Republic High School.
I thought they were going to try to get Mackey for going until the whistle.
No.
He took that end and he drove him
at least 10 yards
downfield and then circled him around the pile and took him towards the Republic sideline.
One of the best blocks I've seen in my 10 years of coaching and watching football. It is a illegal play though, illegal call against Clay County. I'm not sure. As I said last week, producer Rob Edwards is telling us here that he feels it's an unsportsmanlike conduct play. I don't think it was against Mackey, though, for his great block, Thomas. I believe they realized that was just good play on his part. Unsure as to who was guilty of the infraction, though, but regardless, Clay County going to get backed up. 15-yard penalty, the second of the night for Clay County. We don't know who either one of those penalties has been assessed against, but two in the same game to a player will get you ejected, so obviously, it wasn't the same guy because nobody's been sent off the field. So now the ball is being spotted on the 30-yard line. Clay County with, it's the Clay County 30. I think first and 10 from the 30 after that strange set of plays there. Ball being snapped, given to Ogletree. He's around left side, has a lot of room. He's to the 35, now across to the 38, 39-yard line. We'll call it the 38. So a pickup of 8 for Ogletree on first and 10. Should set up second and 2. Ogletree and Markham, we brag on them a lot for good reason. Very good athletes, doing a good job of running the ball for Clay County. Also, Mackey, we got very excited. Thomas, you know, Mackey lost that starting position this year to sophomore quarterback Jake Ashlock, but here he is in week 3 really contributing. He scored a touchdown on the ground, also doing a great job blocking for the Bulldogs. Is on second and 2, a long 2. Ashlock goes under center. This time Markham in motion left right. He gets the deep handoff. He's got room. He's to the 45, up to the 50-yard line where he's going to be brought down. So first down run by Jared Markham, and we get back to midfield. Ball's going to be spotted directly on the 50-yard line. There's currently 2 minutes and 49 seconds in this third quarter. Clay County leads with a score of 14-6 over a public high school team that just won't go away. If they could have held on to the football, we would be in a world of hurt right now if they could have done that, but they've not, so we won't worry about that. Clay County just needs to score. So now first and 10 from the 50-yard line. Ashlock under center. Markham in motion. Same play as last time. He gets it. Has a lot of room again. He's already got 7 on the play. Now he gets a 9-yard pickup. Going to be brought down at the 42. I'd said before the ball was spotted at the 50. It was actually at the Clay County 49. So that is a pickup of 9 for Markham on the play. Second and a long one for Clay County. It's on the Trailblazer 42-yard line. Trailblazers don't have a lot of depth, have a small team, not a lot of guys on the sideline. I don't think any of those starters have been out. However, Coach Bates has run several guys in, especially defensively for us. Hopefully we're fresher. Ashlock down naked bootleg to the left. It's not going to work, though. He's not going to get that first down. Did not lose yardage as the ball is still spotted at the 42-yard line. Very similar to a two-point conversion play that we saw last week in the Red Bullen game that I thought perhaps was a busted play because Ashlock was the only Bulldog that went to the left side. But once again, we see the play, and the Trailblazers weren't fooled, Thomas.
They weren't. I got to go back to Markham. He's been the workhorse tonight. He's got 16 carries. He broke into the century mark tonight. He's got 101 yards.
Ashlock now throws a towel from midfield back to the sideline. He's wearing one, but I'm sure, Thomas, that towel is pretty much soaked, so he got a fresh towel from Coach Bates, and now he gets the play, and they break huddle and come to the line of scrimmage. Third and 1, 42-yard line. Ball's given to Markham again around right side. He's got some more room. Going to be a pickup of round 4. We'll see where they spot it. It is going to be a first down on the play. Ball's going to be spotted at the 37-yard line. So pickup of 5 for Markham on the play as he adds to that would be his 17th carry then, Thomas, and around 110 yards or so, 106, I guess.
I'll tell you what I'm looking for. He's busting it up in there. He's slip-legging them. look for him to break one here pretty quick.
I hope so. 37-yard line ball snapped, this time given to Ogletree. He has some room, wars a shoulder and punishes a Trailblazer defender. He does not have first down yardage, but moves the ball down to the 33-yard line. So a good pickup of Ogletree on the play. Going to set up a second and six for Clay County. There's 38 seconds left in this third quarter. Clay County does lead 14-6. They're going to try to get another play in here before the quarter ends. Ashlock and team approach the line. They're not throwing the ball in this drive. We'll see if they stay on the ground. Second and six. This time ball snap given to Ogletree. He's in motion. He's in the backfield, but he keeps moving, and he's all the way down now to the 24-yard line. So a good run by Ogletree, Seth Ogletree, that is. It looked like he was going to be brought down in the backfield, but he was elusive. More than anything, he was aggressive, kept his feet moving, and got positive yardage and a first down. So first and 10 Clay County ball on the Trailblazer 24-yard line. Is I think Coach Bates is going to let the third quarter clock run out.
What I liked about that run from Ogletree there, he did. He made a little move in the hole. Two Republic defenders ran into each other. Maybe one of the best licks of the night there, Daniel.
It was. Didn't wrap up. He punched them.
That's right. But he had two hands on that ball. Ball control. Keeping it safe for the Bulldogs.
That's the end of three here at John Peoples Field as we see a score of 14 for Clay County, 6 for Republic. We're going to come back to the fourth quarter, and hopefully we can finish this drive with a Clay County score on the Horizon Sports Network.
A clear path for you to make your home a 10. Its most energy efficient rating through the new eScore program. eScore allows homeowners to work toward a score of 10 for their home at their own pace while earning rebates on qualified energy efficiency upgrades. For additional information and program details, please visit www.2escore.com or contact your local Tri-County Electric office. Good luck, Bulldogs, from Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Besides offering local affordable housing here for over 30 years, Westmoreland Management and owner Bobby Westmoreland have been proud supporters of Clay County Athletics for decades. Not only have they offered area residents options when looking for a place to live with their Riverside and Cherry Tree apartment complexes, they've always shown their Bulldog pride. The owners and employees of Westmoreland Management are proud to sponsor Horizon Sports Network coverage of Clay County Bulldogs football this season. They encourage you to get behind the CTHS team and fill the stands at every game. Go Dogs!
Whether you've been hurt in the game, just had surgery, or need wound care treatment, Cumberland River Outpatient Rehabilitation Center is here to help you get back to what you enjoy. The therapists at Cumberland River Outpatient Rehabilitation Center are committed to providing clinically superior, cost-effective therapy services for our community. No matter what age you are, we will get you back in the game. We are located at 100 Old Jefferson Street, Solana, Tennessee. Call 931-243-5250 for more information today. Getting you back in the game.
Clay County here, first and 10. Ball's going to be snapped from the 24-yard line. It is now, after they flip field at the end of the quarter, they're moving from left to right. Ashlock snaps the ball and quickly hands off to Markham, but just as quickly, the officials blow a whistle. Hopefully this will be against the Trailblazers, and it is. I thought I saw movement on their side. Oh, and defense got a little excited for the Trailblazers there. And Clay County will benefit from that 5-yard penalty. Now, first and 5 for Clay County. That should set us up at the 21-yard line. I'd said before it was spotted on the 24. Well, they're down there where I can't hardly see good anymore. I apologize. I think it is at the 19. It was spotted on the 24. The 5-yard penalty takes it down to the 19-yard line. Clay County getting closer to the end zone. 11 minutes and 57 seconds remain here in this fourth quarter. Ashlock now and his team approach the line. Ashlock goes under center. Motion from Jacoby this time, who's in subbing for Ogletree. And just as quickly this time on the second play in a row, we see penalty flags fly on the field. Delay of game, Clay County.
Give that 5 right back to them. As we see, the rain's lighting up just a hair here tonight, Daniel. It hadn't let up, but I can see the players a little better.
Yeah, it's been misty. No fog has settled in here at John Peoples Field, but there's been precipitation coming down throughout this contest, and kind of hazy and hard to see when the Dogs are down here towards Russell Richardson Doghouse off to our right. So first and 10 again after the second penalty in a row. Jacoby in motion. Ashlock under center gives it to Jacoby. He's going to be brought down to the backfield for a loss. Republic Thomas, you mentioned they seemed like they were more comfortable with each passing play in this game. And, well, you're right. They appear to be more sound in their tackling as they go through. Certainly offensively, they've been clicking more. The ball now is being spotted on the 26-yard line, so a loss of two for Jacoby on the play to set up second and 12 for Coach Bates and his Bulldogs.
We don't need to be going backwards here. Again, we talk about their big playability and the confidence they build with each play. We need to stick it in the end zone and kind of give us a little cushion.
We do. Second and 12. That shot comes under center. Same double wing set we've seen all night. Jacoby in motion. Fake to him. It's a roll out to the right. And once again, this time Ashok's able to avoid penetration as Mackey comes up on the reception. Not a huge gain, however, for the Bulldogs. A gain of one as it's going to put the ball back to the 25-yard line. So we're going to set up third and 11. What happened that time is Ashok started to roll to the right on a rollout pass. He had penetration immediately off the right side of that Bulldog offensive line, so he had to go deeper into his role to evade that. He is playing with a broken pinky toe. However, he was able to get away, but it took away from the total gain.
It did. Nice stiff arm, kind of shoved him down by the helmet and got loose. Just didn't have anybody to go to but the check down to Mackey.
Third and 11 from the 25. Ashlock under center. Big play here for the Dogs as we need yards. Give the Mackey up the middle. He's got a lot of room. He's down to the 15, now the 10. Mackey there. They did a toss sweep to Jacoby in motion from right to left. Quickly stuck it in the gut of Mackey as he went forward right behind number 72, Joseph Short. And first down yardage by Seth Mackey, who, you know, 3 weeks in a row now we've called all the different names. To this point in time, Mackey, kind of the hero of the game for the Bulldogs. So there's 10 minutes and 10 seconds left here in this fourth quarter. Score 14-6. Ball's on the 10 of a 12-yard line. Ball snapped. It's on the ground, and Republic has covered that football, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sad to tell you, Republic Trailblazers do take over after the beautiful run by Mackey down to the 12-yard line. It looks like a fumble on the ground. Ashlock took the snap from Short, faked a toss in the backfield. The slick ball came out, and Republic takes over, so another missed scoring opportunity for the Bulldogs. The Trailblazers take over the Clay County, or actually at their own 15-yard line.
You hate to see that again. Mackey got rolling there. Nice run. I don't know. It's just one of those nights. The ball's been on the ground a lot. It's going to happen more as this game goes on, I'm sure.
Well, the field has held up well here. John Temple's field has. It's got a good roll. It drains well, but it is starting to get sloppy after the junior high game last night and the contest tonight. So we're here in the fourth quarter. Trailblazers take over with 9:58 on the clock. Ball being snapped. Trey Lane, the quarterback, can't hold on to it. It's on the ground. Looks like Clay County may have it this time. I'm not sure. Don't think so, though. I don't see a signal from the officials. It is second down. But on that fumbled play, the Trailblazers actually pick up some yardage because as the ball came out and went forward, they pick up three on the play. As now it's spotted at the Trailblazers' 17-yard line. Kind of a botched play for Republic High School, but they did get positive yardage. So quarterback Trey Lane brings his team to the line. He's under center for a second and 8 play. High backfield behind him. Toss sweep to the tailback around right side. He's pretty quick. And he has some yards, not a lot. Going to set up around a third and 5 as the ball's going to be spotted at the 21-yard line.
I think that was Henson in on the stop. I'm not sure where he came from, Daniel. Have you picked up? Is he at linebacker?
He is. He's playing inside linebacker, as we've mentioned several times. Number 50, Dylan Maxfield. Number 30, Will Ogletree, not playing tonight for the Bulldogs. They're our leading tacklers. And quite honestly, our most instinctive defensive players. But we don't have their services tonight as they've both experienced some injury and sickness. Hopefully they'll be back next week. Third and 4 for the Trailblazers as the ball's being snapped at their own 21-yard line.
Don't have any coverage on this far side.
No, we don't. Slot receiver was wide open, but he comes in motion. Ball's on the ground. It's deep in the backfield of the Trailblazers. They pick it up. But I think number 16, John Copeland, was back there to have his way. Yes, it was Copeland, the hero of week one against Jackson County. And the Republic High School Trailblazers will have a fourth down. Going to have to punt the ball back. They tried to punt earlier. Well, they tried to, but the long snap went on the ground. It was not successful.
They fumbled so many times it's hard to remember what you saw.
I think Republic will try to punt here. It's fourth and 9. The ball's at their own 15-yard line. be very risky to go for a play, but I think they're going to try. So here we are, huge play for the Dogs. If they stop this play, we'll have great field position. Fourth and nine, Trey Lane under center, ball snapped. It's on the ground again. He's going to be sacked. I cannot tell you who that was at this point. Number...
That's Copeland, isn't it? That's Copeland.
That is Copeland. That's Copeland.
2 seconds in a row.
He was strutting it. We had to wait until he came back to the home team sideline. Number 16, John Copeland, the freshman, comes up huge for the Bulldogs. 2 plays in a row. Quarterback sack there, recorded on fourth down. Thomas, I don't know. I feel like the Trailblazers made a mistake by trying to go for it, but I'm not too upset about it, to be honest with you.
Doesn't bother me a bit.
Ball now spotted on the 11-yard line. So Clay County with a short field. They can pick up a first down, though. Whistles now blow with 7 minutes remaining in this game. It's 14-6. This is a huge possession for Clay County. They could go up 2 possessions with a score here and really put this game, not put it away, but make it a lot more comfortable than it currently is. I'm not sure what's happening on the field. The head official was not happy with something. He's approaching Coach Bates on the sideline now. I don't know if there's a issue with some of the equipment on one of the Clay County Bulldog players or exactly what's happening. Coach Bates and the head referee conference now around the numbers at around the 22-yard line.
He may just be looking for an umbrella.
He could be. This rain does continue here. I don't think that official was very happy. I see now that he's approaching the head coach for a public high school. I feel some chippiness was probably taking place between each team and staying in control of this game. That official probably went to each head coach and said, Coach, I warned your kids. You know, we've told them any continued mouthing or stuff is going to result in some ejections. I don't know that that's what happened, but typically you'll see something like that. So here we are. Ashton's going to go under center from the 11-yard line. Clay County close to scoring. Ball's going to be handed off to Mackey. I can't see. As we have our public coach here in the booth beside us here in the Twin Lakes broadcast booth getting upset about a play he saw on the field.
Big Joseph Short battling with the big man inside. That's the center there.
I'm not sure exactly what happened. I apologize for the poor job of describing to you what I just saw on the field, but it was a gain of 2 for Clay County. I don't know who the ball carrier was. So here we go. Second and 8. From the 9-yard line, Ashlock goes under center. Ball snap. This time giving to Mackey up the gut. He's going to pick up a few more, moving the ball down to the 6-yard line. Seth Mackey doing a good job running back up fullback tonight for the injured Ogletree.
I believe that was him on that other carry.
I think it was, too. I believe it was Mackey on both carries. And I don't blame Coach Bates. Mackey's shown that he's pushing hard in there. Now we have a substitution as Mackey comes to the sideline along with number 34, Camden Bowles, and number 7, Seth Ogletree. A major personnel change here on 3rd and 4 for the Clay County Bulldogs as we now move into Wildcat set. Markham back at quarterback. We have White Birch and Everton split to the left, and Markham's going to not think about throwing the ball at all. He gets the direct snap and does not gain a yard as he tried to run right up from center. Joseph Short snap directly ahead, and a run of no gain for Markham. Now 4th down and 5 for the Bulldogs. Clark Donaldson comes onto the field, so a lot of personnel changes for the Dogs. I see head coach Matt Bates talking to number 1 Ashlock on the sideline.
Big play call here.
Huge
we
play.
Need this score.
5 minutes and 33 seconds remain. Clay County does lead 14-6. They have the ball on the Trailblazer 5-yard line, so only 5 yards away from a touchdown here late in the fourth quarter. Wildcat set again. Ashlock, the slot receiver to the ground. I think we're going to target him maybe. No, it's a run. He's blocking out there. Markham does not get into the end zone, and he does not pick up the first down. If we achieved the 1-yard line, we could have made it first and goal. The ball, that drive began on the 11th. However, Markham, it's close. They may measure, but I don't feel that Markham gained the 1-yard line.
It's hard to see from our perspective here in the Twin Lakes broadcast booth. I guess they were using Ashlock as a decoy out on this side.
I certainly thought they was going to go to him. A little pass maybe to the tall Ashlock, 6'3", almost 200-pound Ashlock.
I wonder if Markham just didn't have the time as he was trying to get the edge to get the ball out there, and Ashlock turned into a blocker.
he did a good job of blocking. They are bringing the sticks out onto the field. This is one of the first measurements we've seen on the Horizon Sports Network. This is the third game we broadcast. We hope you're enjoying what we're doing.
Any idea who the chain gang is this year?
I think Jason Arhead Hamilton that we mentioned earlier in the by the Bulldog history on the pregame show.
Craig over there.
I think Craig may be.
Brian Burchett.
Three of the finest players sign has had. Hey, it's a first down, Thomas, right, on that measurement. First and goal for Clay County is that ball has to be spotted on the 1 yard line now because that's the only place they could get to and not score but still pick up a first down. So four plays for Clay County from the 1 yard line. I say give it to Mackey, and that's the safe play, or sneak dash up. What do you think?
Well, they may come back out in that wildcat, and they do. Markham's been in the
– Markham receives snap straight ahead. He's going to be stopped short. Good job by the Republic backer. I'm not sure if the second effort got him in. We'll have to wait for signal.
He's marked.
Second down, second goal. So this is bound to be at the 2 or 3 inch line. Looked like a little bit of forward progress for Markham on the play. However, he was stopped short. Republic doing a good job with their goal line defense. Going to stay in the Wildcat from what we can see here. This Wildcat formation has Jared Markham at quarterback. However, it's a shotgun set.
Here comes Ashlock.
Here comes Ashlock. We saw him at slot receiver a few plays ago, though, so we'll have to see what Bates dials up. Yes, once again, Ashlock goes to the receiver to the right. We have Burks and Everton split to the left, and Markham the lone back. Clark Donaldson, the blocking back for him. Markham off left side. He's going to walk in this time. Touchdown, Jared Markham. Touchdown, Clay County. 4 minutes and 16 seconds left in this game. Clay County's got to jump up with a score of 20-6. Made that one look easy, Thomas.
He did. Coach Bates kind of spread it out there that time. Earlier, he went strong to Ashlock to the right. He went to the weak side, to the two-receiver side, had more room, and Markham walked in.
Donaldson coming in motion across the formation, did a good job as a blocking back for Markham as well there. So Clay County does take a lead. 20-6 right now. They're preparing for a two-point conversion. Is once again, if I'm not mistaken, I see the officials on the field conferencing with all 22 young men, 11 from each school. There, certainly an atmosphere of unsportsmanlike play has been going on during this second half because after speaking with each head coach, now the official speaking with all the young men on the field.
I know you've been there. Imagine what it's like down there in the trenches. You got grass in your eyes. You got mud in your face. You got water slinging everywhere. I mean, I think this is a good thing, try to keep the sportsmanship good, but these guys are battling. There's going to be some tempers flare, and there's nothing wrong with that in the game of football.
There's not. Certainly the chief job for the head official is to maintain order on the field, and certainly this gentleman that's in charge of that tonight doing a good job. But you're right, Thomas. You've got to have some emotion, a little bit of grit, a little bit of meanness if you want to be a real good football player. So here we are, two-point conversion attempt coming. Currently the score is 20-6 in favor of Clay County as they go for two, staying in the Wildcat set. Markham looking to pass. He has Ashlock. It's going to be complete. So a 3-yard pickup for Markham.
Play.
Yeah, that was it. I saw Ashlock in the slot earlier, kind of figured he was out there for a pass. They run it on the two-point conversion. New score here of 22 for Clay County, 6 for the Trailblazers. We'll go to break and come back with a scoreboard update.
For the better part of a century, one local business has been there for the people of Clay County when they need it most. Upton Hay Funeral Home of Salina has been helping families and friends honor their loved ones since 1949. Many things have changed over the years, but one thing that has not changed is their continuing commitment of service to the families in Clay and surrounding counties. Upton Hay Funeral Home and its owners, Jimmy Hay and Rob and Monica Weir, are proud supporters of the Clay County Bulldogs and Cheerleaders.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility, has been providing skilled nursing care and rehab services here in Salina for over 40 years. We serve Southern Kentucky and area Tennessee counties, including Clay, Jackson, Overton, and Macon. This is Activities Director Corey Barlow reminding you it is our goal for you and your loved one to receive quality, compassionate care by well-trained professionals who serve you from their heart. Give us a call at 931-243-3139 or visit us on the web at SalinaHealthAndRehab.com. Good luck, Bulldogs, in your upcoming season from Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center.
Welcome back. A quick budget pest control scoreboard update. Gordonsville 28, Red Bull and Spring 6 in the fourth quarter. And I made a mistake earlier. Westmoreland's actually 7, Jackson County 0. Trousdale County 36, Watertown 0. Scoreboard update brought to you by Budget Pest Control, License to Kill.
Trousdale County really putting it to Watertown there. Watertown, a program that has moved up in classification. Of course, Trousdale has too. They're double A now after years of haunting us here in single A. But huge night for them, 36-9 over Watertown. We just saw kickoff here as Clay County, number 5, Gabe Henson, kicked the ball off to the Trailblazers. After a short return, Republic will take over at the 47-yard line on their end of the field. They're driving from right to left with 4 minutes and 10 seconds remaining in this game. Clay County leads 22-6. Double tight end set this time for Republic, double wing also. Toss sweep to the right. Jittery back, he stops, changes direction, sprints out to the right, but Clay County's going to tackle him for a loss, and the ball's on the field, two bodies go flying after it. Not a fumble on the play, though. I think that was, the ball came out after the runner was down. Loss of 2 on the play for Republic to set up 2nd and 12. I don't know who made that tackle.
I think that was a senior Watson.
Eli Watson, number 60, playing defensive tackle for Clay County. His dad, we'll be mentioning him in a few weeks, Jeff Wildman Watson, when we do defensive leaders, vicious defensive lineman for Clay County back in the early 80s. Eli doing a good job tonight for Clay County as they lead here late in this game, trying to hang on to the first 3-0 start in 20 years since 1997. It'll be the first time. Trey Lane in shotgun formation this time. He receives the direct snap, goes around right side. He's running hard past the 50. Now he's to the 45. He's all the way down to the 41-yard line. Call it the 42-yard line. On the Clay County end of the field for quarterback Trey Lane from Republic High School.
Let's go back to this touchdown drive. We got the short field. Really wasn't a drive, I guess. We got the ball on the 11-yard line. But Markham, 6 plays. He had 4 of them. Took it in for the touchdown on the spread play, and then hit Ashlock. 2nd week in a row, he's thrown a scoring pass.
That's true. That's true. This time a 2-point conversion, as you mentioned, but Markham, a jack of all trades, as we said in the, earlier in the pregame show, a diverse player, has scored a lot of ways last week and continues to show his prowess tonight at just all things for the Bulldogs. We pause here in our broadcast a little bit. We had a flag down on the field. The officials were trying to figure it out. It's going to be against Republic. Offsetting penalties, producer Rob Edwards says here. Coach, you just need to get that headset on and tell these folks that. Offsetting penalties, Coach Edwards says, but it looks to me as if Republic is having the ball marched back. I'm not sure. Holding penalty. Ended up being a holding penalty. Maybe there was 2 penalties against Republic on the play. And now, well, they marched it back. Now they're marching it forward. Usually on offset penalties, they'll just wave them off. This time, they physically walked the ball back and walked the ball forward. And
did you get his calculator out?
I'm not sure. It was one of the stranger things I've seen an official do. Ball is spotted on the 45-yard line with 3 minutes and 7 seconds here.
Talk about that scoring play again. That kind of put this game on ice. I know it's only a 2-score ball game with the conditions tonight. And again, I think they continue to improve,
even though the rain is stopping.
But with the conditions tonight, that kind of put it on ice as the clock's ticking away here.
We have 2 minutes and 52 seconds left. Ball spotted on the Trailblazer 45. His quarterback's in the shotgun again. That's Trey Lane. Ball snapped high over his head. Trailblazer's going to pick it up, try to run. But it's going to be a huge loss for them as the Bulldogs are able to tackle them. Now spotted on the 35-yard line, so a loss of 10 on the play. And most of that was due to the sloppy conditions that are starting to get out of hand, particularly on the far side of John Peoples Field from that right hash towards the visiting sideline.
It's chewing it up pretty bad. That was Jolin in on the tackle there.
I see number 2, White Burks, who's been on the field giving some relief in the defensive secondary. A fine young sophomore player for the Bulldogs. Now the Trailblazers will be snapping 3rd and what appears to be 25. Ball is snapped. It's a quick stream to the left. But one of the few times they've thrown it, that's Gold, if I'm not mistaken. Dalton Gold just comes through and lights up that Republic receiver on the play. That was number 10, Simeon Garcia. Gold's fast.
He is textbook tackle. you know, he had that pop at the beginning, wrapped him up, drove those legs, and took him to the ground. I like seeing that.
It was the thing of beauty, with no doubt. Dalton Gold and John Copeland here in the first three games of this season have kind of emerged as arguably the best two defensive linemen for Clay County. So fourth and forever for Republic. They're going to be snapping from their own 30-yard line. They won't punt. They have to go forward at this point in the game with 1 minute and 22 seconds left. Ball's on the ground again. It's going to be a loss for Republic on the play. Clay County's going to take over at their own 27-yard line. So it won't be necessary to put in another score. They should be able to take a few knees here out of the victory formation and put this 3-0 start to the 2017 season to rest, as there's 1 minute and 18 seconds, I believe, remaining on the clock. They may have to run a few plays to try to get a first down.
Yeah, but that was actually a fumble. Recovered by number 61 of Clay County.
James Short,
right
number
there,
61
James Short.
Senior. Appreciate that, Coach. We'll try to go to a scoreboard update as soon as the game's over. I think Coach has got some numbers together, but we'll stay here with the play-by-play action for the last minute and 18 seconds. Now Markham getting the handoff from Ashlock. He's running hard around right side. He's going to move the ball down to the 19-yard line. So pretty good pickup for Markham on the play as he's close to a first down. Timeout taken on the field by Republic High School. Coach, you have a scoreboard update, or do we need to go to break?
Guys, let's go to break for a second right here, and let me get some scores together. We'll be back in just a few. Have you bought a new farm that needs work, or just have an area you want cleaned up on your current property? If so, give Tennessee Land Management a call for a bid on clearing that wooded or overgrown area and add value to your farm. Offering dozer work, excavating, mulching, and even automatic watering systems and waterline installation, Tennessee Land Management is your local source for all things concerning property improvement. Give owner Mitch Gray a call today, 615-866-8426. Tennessee Land Management is a proud supporter of Clay County Athletics, encouraging you to show your Bulldog pride. All right, we are back on the Horizon Sports Network. We do have a budget pest control scoreboard update here. A couple finals, South Pittsburgh 61, Sail Creek 7.
Wow.
And Monterey 7, Joe Burns 0 tonight.
That
scoreboard
game
brought to you by budget pest control. Buenas noches, roaches.
Ogletree on the carry on second down will pick up a first as the ball was snapped on the 19-yard line, and now it's being spotted down on the Trailblazer, waiting for him to sit it down. I'm sorry. 14. We'll call it the 14. There's a pickup of five on the play for Seth Ogletree, senior Seth Ogletree. Ladies and gentlemen, if the Bulldogs can avoid some kind of devastating thing here in the last 50 seconds, they're going to hang on and go 3-0, Thomas. I want to make mention of this for the first time since 1997. It's been 20 years. I was a sophomore in high school whenever we last did this. I'm 35 years old now, so it's been a while.
It has. If I'm not mistaken, I have to give him a shout-out. Little brother was
John
leading
Williams,
that team.
Yeah.
They had a great season. I know they beat Gordonsville that year. Had a good season, made it to the playoffs back then.
We'll be talking. We'll mention that team once again next week. They were the last Bulldog team to start a season 4-0. We lost the fifth game of the season as we traveled up high on the mountain to play Scott County, a very physical team. We did lose that ball game. Head coach that year was David Threet, the third of his 3 years as a head coach. David Threet, another first time we've mentioned him on the Horizon Sports Network. We've mentioned Mr. Eads and Mr. Teeples and Mr. Richardson. Of course, the facilities are named after here at Clay County High School. But David Threet, another just icon, is the word, in my opinion, of Clay County football.
He is, along with Coach Randall Walker. I'm sure they were both there in 97, as they were during our careers.
They were.
Those two are right up, in my book, right up with all the rest.
Yeah, certainly so. It was a kind of a classic staff that year. My dad, Jerry Strong, was helping. Also, Mr. Eads was still around helping. So a lot of good tutelage for the Bulldogs in 97, back 20 years ago. Is now finally Ashlock going to be able to take a knee and this clock will run out, barring one of the teams calling another timeout. There's currently 30 seconds left on the clock. Clay County does lead here in the fourth quarter with a score of 22-6, and it appears like both teams are going to be content to let this thing run out, Thomas. Wonderful start to the season for head coach Matt Bates and this Bulldog squad.
You couldn't write it up any better. I know that's what I do is write, but you can't write that up any better. New coach, new team, new attitude. Bulldog football's back.
It is back, and we're proud to say is right now we hear the buzzer go off on the scoreboard here at John Teeples Field. Delighted to give you the final score of Clay County Bulldogs 22. The Republic High School Trailblazers 6. 1-0 now against the Trailblazers, 3-0 on the season, and 2-0 in Region 4A. So we're going to go to a break here, quick string of ads from our sponsors, tabulate some information, come back here on the Horizon Sports Network for the post-game show. Please stay with us.
For the better part of a century, one local business has been there for the people of Clay County when they need it most. Upton Hay Funeral Home of Salina has been helping families and friends honor their loved ones since 1949. Many things have changed over the years, but one thing that has not changed is their continuing commitment of service to the families in Clay and surrounding counties. Upton Hay Funeral Home and its owners, Jimmy Hay and Rob and Monica Weir, are proud supporters of the Clay County Bulldogs and Cheerleaders.
Fishing and boating at Delhalla Lake are some of the best you'll find anywhere. Clay County Chamber of Commerce invites local folks and out-of-town visitors to make plans now for a trip to Delhalla Lake. Not only is the lake home to the world record smallmouth bass, but it's one of the best houseboating lakes in the nation. For more details, you can contact the local chamber at 931-243-3338 or visit delhallalake.org.
Clay County Farm Supply is not only your local one-stop shop for all things farm-related, but they also carry a full line of Pro Hardware brand products, building supplies, and much more. Owners Randy and Charlotte Copeland make sure their business is the community's leader in farm products and feed while offering a wide array of home improvement building supplies. Why go anywhere else? Stop in today or give them a call at 931-243-4169. Their entire staff wishes the Dogs best of luck this football season. Clay County Farm Supply, your one-stop shop for all things farm-related, plus so much more.
The wait is over. You have better things to do with your time other than wait, especially when it comes to accessing your personal funds. With Card at Once from Bank of Salina, our friendly staff now has the ability to distribute fully functioning, personalized debit cards on-site. No more waiting days for a card and a pen to be mailed to you. Open up an account today and walk out of our branch ready to use your money with your new debit card. Bank of Salina, serving thousands of customers one at a time. Equal housing member, member FDIC.
This is Daniel Strong, the voice of the Bulldogs on the Horizon Sports Network, and I want to tell you about AC Wireless's USF or MiFi hotspot. This small device powers our live stream broadcast of Bulldog football wherever we go, so I know it can give you all the high-speed Wi-Fi internet service you could possibly want. Go to AC Wireless in Salina today. Give them a call at 931-243-4545 or look them up on Facebook for all their latest smartphone deals and events. AC Wireless, your local U.S. cellular dealer.
Whether you've been hurt in the game, just had surgery, or need wound care treatment, Cumberland River Outpatient Rehabilitation Center is here to help you get back to what you enjoy. The therapists at Cumberland River Outpatient Rehabilitation Center are committed to providing clinically superior, cost-effective therapy services for our community. No matter what age you are, we will get you back in the game. We are located at 100 Old Jefferson Street, Salina, Tennessee. Call 931-243-5250 for more information today. Getting you back in the game.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility, has been providing skilled nursing care and rehab services here in Salina for over 40 years. We serve Southern Kentucky and area Tennessee counties, including Clay, Jackson, Overton, and Macon. This is Activity Director Corey Barlow reminding you it is our goal for you and your loved one to receive quality, compassionate care by well-trained professionals who serve you from their hearts. Give us a call at 931-243-3139 or visit us on the web at SalinaHealthAndRehab.com. Good luck, Bulldogs, in your upcoming season from Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center.
Besides offering local affordable housing here for over 30 years, Westmoreland Management and owner Bobby Westmoreland have been proud supporters of Clay County Athletics for decades. Not only have they offered area residents options when looking for a place to live with their Riverside and Cherry Tree apartment complexes, they've always shown their Bulldog pride. The owners and employees of Westmoreland Management are proud to sponsor Horizon Sports Network coverage of Clay County Bulldogs football this season. They encourage you to get behind the CCHS team and fill the stands at every game. Go Dogs!
Tri-County Electric encourages you to visit their website at www.tcemc.org, where you can manage your account, pay your bill, view our real-time outage management map, access Kentucky Living and the Tennessee Magazine, follow us on Facebook, and much more. Be sure to update your phone information to allow the outage management system to operate effectively and help you in the event of an outage. Good luck, Bulldogs, from Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Tired of running around, trying to find everything you need for a project, or traveling out of town to a big box store? If so, go to the Getting Place, Salina Lumber Company, where if you need it, they've got it right here at home. For all things home improvement, Salina Lumber has been the place for over a half century. They offer all the conveniences of a big box store, but with a small town feel. Stop by today, call them at 931-243-3315, or follow them on Facebook. Salina Lumber Company, the Getting Place, proud supporters of Clay County football.
Back to school season is upon us, so start the school year off right by building the perfect entertainment package for your family, all while saving money. Choose Twin Lakes Broadband, HDTV, quality home phone, and security monitoring, and you've got the perfect package to keep everyone connected, laughing, and safe at night. To learn more or to bundle and save, stop by any of our 7 local offices today or visit us online at twlakes.coop. Key insert number C-0026.
Have you bought a new farm that needs work or just have an area you want cleaned up on your current property? If so, give Tennessee Land Management a call for a bid on clearing that wooded or overgrown area and add value to your farm. Offering dozer work, excavating, mulching, and even automatic watering systems and waterline installation, Tennessee Land Management is your local source for all things concerning property improvement. Give owner Mitch Fair a call today, 615-866-8426. Tennessee Land Management is a proud supporter of Clay County Athletics, encouraging you to show your Bulldog pride.
We return here on the Horizon Sports Network to the Twin Lakes broadcast booth for the final time tonight. Very pleased here to tell you that we just witnessed the Clay County Bulldogs go to 3-0 on the year for the first time since 1997, 20 years ago, to beat the Republic High School Trailblazers for a final score of 22-6. Next week, we'll be traveling to Mount Juliet, but we'll be talking more about that here in a few minutes. We want to finish up talking about tonight's contest. So let's go to producer Rob Edwards. He's tabulated some information concerning the Republic High School offense for us.
Guys, I'll say again, it's a sloppy night here. It's makes me happy to be a basketball coach. I don't have to stand out in this stuff ever. So. Well, final score 22-6. Looks like for the game that Trailblazers were, well, let's just say the second half stats. They had 9 rushes, 4 yards total. You know, a lot of those, again, bad snaps, a couple long snaps that went awry, and they had to fall on them.
Nice gains, really. You know, there was a time or two they picked up some nice gains, but apparently the overall total doesn't show that.
Well, they did. They had an 11-yard run. They had another 9-yard run. But those were all negated by those bad snaps and just trouble holding on to the football tonight. I guess the biggest stat for them tonight, 9 penalties for 49 yards. Really hurt them at times.
Yeah, the mishandled snaps and self-inflicted wounds with the penalties. If they played a cleaner game, you know, until late this game, they were a contender. So a good squad.
I think so. I think they've got a bright future in Region 4A. You know, I don't know how long they're going to stay in Single A. I expect them to grow over the next couple of years being in Nashville like they are. But right now, their future's bright.
Like I said, they gained confidence with every good thing they did.
They did.
Fortunately for us, they had enough bad things to kind of cancel that out. Again, a talented team. They're just new. They don't quite know how to play football yet. They don't hardly have the grasp of the game. Fortunate for us, because we didn't necessarily have a good grasp tonight either, except for maybe, on the offensive side of the ball.
Playing without, as we mentioned several times tonight, playing without sophomore Will Ogletree and senior Dylan Maxfield, it certainly wasn't a crippling thing. We still had success, but it did take away from some of the dominance that we've had on defense. Republic really hurt themselves more than we hurt them when they were on the offensive side of the ball. So I hope to have those guys back next week. Thomas, what about some stuff on the Bulldogs? That's what we want to hear about.
Well, we didn't hardly get to that 300-yard mark, but we definitely outdid what Republic did. They had the one big play for a touchdown. So just a quick scoring summary. With about 4 minutes into the game, we had put together a 7-play, 25-yard drive. Jared Markham, who had another big night, we'll get to it here in a minute, capped that drive to make it 6-0 with a 3-yard touchdown. And then that's when Republic struck on that long jump ball pass that they came down with and took it took it on about 30 more yards, I guess, or 40,
right,
for the touchdown to tie the game up as time expired in the first quarter. And then the second quarter got pretty stagnant. We put together finally a 12-play drive that, again, was extended by Markham's fake punt,
yes,
that he took 27 yards. Ogletree had some big runs, and Seth Mackey, the senior Seth Mackey, got the touchdown and the two-point conversion and gave us that lead that we held the rest of the game despite Republic, you know, making waves and gaining some confidence. We held that lead, and then we kind of iced it with about 4 minutes left in the game. Markham getting his second touchdown. And then throwing, again, another scoring toss to Ashlock for the two-point conversion to account for the final score, 22-6. Individually, you have to go to Markham again. He had a huge night last week. He's over 100 yards again tonight. The workhorse, 22 carries, 121 yards, 2 touchdowns. It doesn't get much better than that, especially on a soggy, nasty, rainy, grinded-out type game like it was tonight.
Certainly that offensive line for Clay County, we got to mention them. And I bring it up, Thomas, because I know that you appreciate and value what those guys do. Sometimes we don't mention it enough, though. We talk about Ogletree, we talk about Markham. Markham now probably going over 250 yards on the season. You know, he needs to give number 50 Maxfield, Joseph Short, and Eli Watson, Alex Combs, Derek Beckner, many of those guys, Zach Strong, a pat on the back. They've done a nice job for him after, honestly, we've seen inconsistent line play for some time now in Clay County. We've had shades of brilliance there, but not a consistent weekly effort. We've seen that this year.
We have, and Coach Bates talked about, you know, having a rotation, having some guys he can play to come in and you know, not a big drop-off there when he does that. And credit to Markham in our interview today. You know, these kids come in, they don't want to say a lot of times on air, but he brought that up before I did. He said, you know, had great, the line's done a great job, and he credited them for his big night for last night. I'm sure he'd do it again if we have him in again.
For sure. Didn't mean to interrupt your list of the stats. Just one dimensional.
That's fine. So we had Markham, our leading rusher. We'll go down the list here. Seth Ogletree, another big night. He had, let's see, 10 carries for 67 yards. That's a heck of an average. You know, he's been right around that 70-yard mark for his first three games of his career.
Yeah.
We forget, you know, he never played football until about 2-3 weeks ago. So, then you got Ashlock. He scrambled pretty good, had 7 carries for 17 yards. and then the senior Mackey again. Ended up with 8 carries for 29 yards and the touchdown and the 2-point conversion.
And one huge block that we both got excited about.
We did. We did. It doesn't matter if it's a touchdown, what it is. When we see somebody putting out the effort, we want to recognize them. And then Jacoby had one carry, a negative yards carry, and that brings us to a total of 46 carries for 232 yards and 3 touchdowns on the game.
Solid effort.
So passing, not much there. Ashlock was 2 for 6 for 7 yards. Let's see, Markham, I guess, threw to Ashlock for the 1 yard, 2-point conversion for 3 yards. I'll get it out in a minute. Too many small numbers. And then, so that made a total of 3 for 6 for 10 yards through the air. Wasn't a night to throw the ball, Daniel.
It was.
So a total of 242 yards and the win. That's the most important thing. 3-0, Clay County Bulldogs, first time in 20 years.
Very exciting, very exciting. Ladies and gentlemen, that almost wraps us up. We're going to go back one more time to Rob Edwards here for one final Budget Pest Control scoreboard update.
Guys, before we get to that, we're talking about starting out at 3-0, which is pretty significant. But not only that, I don't think we've mentioned tonight, it's the first time we've had a 3-game win streak of any kind since 2008.
Yeah.
So you know, it's a pretty significant night for Bulldog football, here in Salina. All right, final scoreboard update, got some final scores here. South Pittsburgh 61, Sale Creek 7. Sale Creek is a future opponent of Clay County. They're 0-3 now. A Region 4A matchup, Monterey 7, Joe Burns 0. You guys, Monterey got in the win column tonight. We were a little bit concerned about them earlier tonight.
I think that was, as we said, kind of a gauge of what this region may look like outside of Gordonsville. Sound like it's a pretty good game, maybe a battle.
I figured Joe Burns might be a kind of a dark horse to be the leader, but they're 0-1 in region play.
Gordonsville got in the win column as well tonight. We talked about them in the pregame and how they'd had a tough schedule so far. 28-6 final over Red Bull and Springs. Puts them at 1-0 in the region. Red Bull at 0-2 in the region, I believe.
That's who we're supposed to be chasing. I know Murphy Fair, the coaches, had Gordonsville pick number one out of our region. Joe Burns ahead of us, and then Monterey had us fourth. So we're right there with them record-wise right now. It's going to be a battle in Region 4A.
It is. We're currently probably number one in the standings because we kind of played one extra region game over some of those other teams.
Some scores, local scores, some teams around us. Cookeville 42, Warren County 0. Cookeville's a pretty strong team again this year seems to be. Livingston Academy 40, Cumberland County 7. Now, that showed fourth quarter, but I'm sure that's probably a final by now. Westmoreland 33, Jackson County 0.
Wow.
So the Blue Devils off to a rough start on the season.
Maybe a tough year for Coach Loftus.
Yeah.
Smith County 21, Upperman 0. Trousdale County 42, Watertown 6.
Put it on.
It is. Pretty impressive.
Glad they're not in Region 4A.
Yeah.
So am I. Our final score here is Bulldogs opponent next week, Mount Juliet Christian 47, Concord Christian 0.
That's 43 weeks in a row, isn't it? I'm sorry.
No, you're right. That's 3 weeks in a row. That scores of 42, 45, and 47. They keep adding to it each week. And the Bulldogs got to travel to Mount Juliet next week. We give up 49. I don't know.
We have hit in the 30s on scoring on a decent night where things are dry. And I talked about it in the pregame, maybe about Ashlock kind of making a comeback of sorts. Didn't have much an opportunity here tonight, as nasty as it is. Maybe we can get him rolling next week and counteract all those points.
Certainly hope so.
Guys, that was the final Budget Pest Control update of the night, scoreboard update. Budget Pest Control, all killing done professionally.
Well, there you have it. That was the final Budget Pest Control scoreboard update of the night. For the final time now, we'll give you the final score here at John Teeples Field. Clay County 22, Republic High School 6. Clay County is 3-0. We will be coming on air next week. probably around 6 o'clock again as we travel down to Mount Juliet Christian Academy for week 4 of this 2017 season. We appreciate you for listening to the Horizon Sports Network. And at this point in time, we'll be saying good night.